to Interactive Distractions, episode number 115. My name is Christopher Riccio. I am here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And today, later on, we're going to talk about some gaming and 3D and whether or not we think it's actually going to take off. But before that, we're going to do some distractions, we'll do some news, and then we'll come back afterwards and do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So before we do that, hey, Travis.
Hey.
What's up, man? How are you?
Not much, dude. Just recuperating from a crazy, crazy weekend with a whole bunch of people. But it was kind of your deal, so I'll let you talk about that a little later on.
We can talk about it now. It's either way.
Oh, well, I mean, it was your deal. It was your birthday. It was your B-day. Yeah, we'll talk about it. You bring it up. It was your special day. But after that,
he doesn't remember it, dude. He's too old.
Well, I don't remember it, but it's not because I'm too old.
I don't remember much either. Megan had to drive home. Let's leave it at that.
That's not surprising.
No. I'm a lightweight. But anyway, I've been having to, since I'm leaving for the Gulf Coast for to be with family for the Super Bowls, I've been like working about 12-hour, 13-hour days for the last 4 days at my store just to make sure that I'm like I'm absorbing as much labor as possible, and I'm freaking out because like I'm leaving the store in my assistant's hands, and it's like, oh my God, I hope I don't get a call like, you know, in the middle of the football game, hey, the store's not, it's on fire or something. I'm like, oh, fuck,
we ran out of burgers.
I'm in the middle of the game. Let it burn. I don't care.
Just close the store. Open up tomorrow. No one's coming to Sonic on the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, who cares? Anyway, though, that's all that's going on, man. I've been busting my chops trying to get ready. I still haven't packed yet. I'm leaving in about 14 hours, and I have not packed one thing. I still have laundry to do, so I am like way behind. So we got to get this rolling. So move it on to Jeff.
All right.
Oh, man. I had the most awesome weekend of nothing. And I'm not even being sarcastic. It was the first weekend in so long where Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there was literally like pretty much no plans. So I pretty much gamed that entire time.
Oh, watched man.
TV. Tawny even went to, she went to her parents. It was her dad's birthday on the weekend. So she went down to her parents. I think it was on Sunday or Saturday. I can't remember which day. I think it was Sunday. It's like all Sunday. I was just like lounging and just like playing a whole bunch of games. I'm like, this is awesome.
I can't even remember the last time I did
that. Dude, that's why it was so good. I'm like,
I'm with you.
I mean, and Saturday I did kind of want to get, I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe I kind of do want to get some, because I kind of get cabin fever pretty easily. So I started calling people, and everyone was, a bunch of my friends were at some tournament for something. I think they're playing squash or something like that. And,
what?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that?
It's like racquetball, pretty much. And
you've never heard of squash?
No.
It's hard, man. I played it when I was a kid, but now being being a smoker,
sounds
dude,
difficult.
a lot of running. Anyway, so they do it every year. It's kind of like some of them actually do play, some of them don't really play, so they enter the tournament anyway, and it's kind of like a big joke. And usually I go down because usually go out and party, but I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like going down there this time, so I'm just going to chill. So, yeah, it was pretty damn awesome. I think I left my place once or twice, once to get groceries, and I can't remember the other time I left, but I left for some reason. I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, I was totally lazy and sloth-like, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and, man, yeah. I hope it happens again.
Nice.
Yeah, that was it. So I guess that was total opposite of your weekend, Chris, because it was your B-day, your birthday.
Yeah, we recorded on Thursday. Friday, Kill9 and Kelly came in town. And let's see, what did we do? We went out to North River Tavern, which is where we did the first night of IndusFest.
IndusFest!
And we did some, did some dinner. And Crystal and I are actually doing this class. It's like it's supposed to help you, you know, actually get through a natural birth, which is with as little pain as possible. And that's on Friday nights.
That, eh?
And,
is that like kind of like saying like it's taking a course to see whether or not like they can reduce the pain of smashing your own hand with a brick?
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's all about pain tolerance and that kind of thing. No. But it was actually her decision just to skip it. So we stayed at North River Tavern for a while, and Then we headed over to my cousin's bakery, and they flipped out and got a ton of shit. And I think Kelly actually posted some of the pictures in the bakery on her photo blog, so that was cool. And then the next day we ended up going to Atlanta Brewing Company, which was the plan. Really cool little place. Has this like small like lounge area in the front, and you know, you walk in and you buy a glass. It's like $8 and you get 4 beers out of it. So, you know, it's a pretty cool deal. And then, you know, they take you on this little tour. It's a very, very small place. And I don't know if anybody listening who's ever tried Red Brick, that's where Red Brick is made. And you know, it's a very small brewery. It's one little warehouse. But you know, beer is really good. It's very tasty. And, you know, they were really hospitable because we walked in and like a bunch of us hadn't had lunch or anything like that. So they just handed us a menu and said, yeah, you guys can like order pizza if you want or something like that. So, you know, we ordered pizza and got it delivered to the brewery and we were chilling out in the brewery eating pizza and drinking beer. It was great.
That's a good time.
Yeah. It was a good time. And then, after that we headed back and, we came back to the house and we broke out the homebrew.
Yeah.
That shit was good, yo.
Many people liked it more than I did.
I liked it.
Well, you're the one who made it, so you're probably the biggest critic on it.
Well, and I think that might be part of it. But I mean, I definitely don't hate it. I mean, I'm drinking it right now. It's a good beer for the most part, but it's not Newcastle. That's what I was aiming for. Mm-hmm. It probably could have used a little more carbonation time because it was kind of flat. There was a little bit of carbonation, but not a lot. And then I think there was too much honey. There was too much honey taste. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had several people say to me, you know, but it's good that way. So don't worry about it. But, you know, for me, it was a little too sweet for me to have in a beer, you know?
It was really, really sweet.
Yeah, it was a really sweet beer, and I don't know if it was because it was like I had too much honey in the wort, or if it was because I didn't put enough yeast to actually break down all the sugars. Mm-hmm. But the yeast is supposed to reproduce, so I'm not sure how that works out. I didn't really do any research on it yet, but you know, I know for next time that I need to watch that. So, learning experience. And buddy of mine that does all the home brewing, he came over later that evening, brought me like 8 bottles of his home brew, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he tried mine, and he said, well, I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot better than the first one I ever did. So yeah, you know, he said, I tell you what, why don't you just leave it in the fridge for about another week or two? It'll probably age pretty well. So right now I'm basically finishing off what was left of one of the bottles, and there's like 3 or 4 other bottles in there that are just going to sit there for another week or two. And then I'll give it another shot.
They're those big, like 1 liter bottles, right?
Yeah, they're 1 liter bottles. I had 8 liters, 4 liters are gone, from that night. And from, you know, this was just like probably like 8-12 ounces that was left. And that's what I'm having right now. But, you know, it turned out pretty well, pretty good. It was a learning experience. I'm going to definitely do something simpler, for my next beer, just to kind of hit the ground running and that kind of thing. So, but we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Yep. Beer. And we also went to the Irish pub after your house and
that's
drank
right.
some more.
Yeah, we went to Harp, Harp Irish Pub, which is right up the street. And they have great fish and chips. So, yeah, we hung out there until probably like 11:30 or so, and then everybody ended up going their separate ways. We came back to the house, and there's a lot of Street Fighter and Rock Band this weekend. So,
yeah, so that's the pictures for sure. Of the Rock Band. I think, Kill9 posted some on Twitter.
Cool. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I know Sunday, Kill9 and Kelly went looking around at apartments, and I think they found a place where they want to live. Mm-hmm. So now it's just a situation where they need to, sell their house in Florida, find jobs up here, and, you know, they're pretty much set on moving up here. So, you know, we're excited about that. It's going to be good.
Cool.
Absolutely. Oh, and then Monday we hit the original Pancake House before they left. Just kind of like last time. Love that place. But, yeah. All right. Enough about that. Let's talk about some games, man. Cause I know there's one game that the three of us need to talk about some more.
Oh, yeah.
So Travis, why don't
but
you take it
at this
it
point,
up?
Everyone's like, I'm so sick of hearing about that.
I don't give a shit if they're sick of it or not. Travis, take it away, man.
All right. Let's talk about Myst.
Yes. different M game I was thinking about, but all right.
Okay, yeah, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Well Jeff, Effect? You and I, well, since we're all going to talk about it now, I mean, Jeff and I talked about it a lot, but Chris, you've probably played it, you know, you've dug deeper into the game where we've been playing a lot of it, and we talked about it a lot last, so, you know, you're a lot further, so what do you think about it?
Oh, man, I am... This is okay.
Love.
yeah, that's absolutely. It's love. I mean, it's like they took all the issues that I had with the first one and pretty much corrected it. Them.
Yeah.
But I have to say that it is kind of weird the way they did some of the stuff because, mm-hmm. Jeff, I think you said it pretty well when you said that they dumbed down a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff, it was dumbed down for a good reason. And some of it kind of feels weird.
Okay.
Like inventory like management and stuff like that. Oh. I know you're not a big fan of that, but mm-hmm. I mean that's something that
Well, I'm not a big fan, but I thought there was too little of that in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because there's basically none. I mean you choose
much.
What weapons you have and that's it.
Well, later on you do get armor choice for your character, but not for the other characters.
I gotcha. Well, I have different armor choices, but I don't know if they actually have an effect on anything.
Yeah, they do. They'll have buffs and stuff like that. Like you can buy you don't find them on the battlefield. You have to buy them where you'll find like you can find some of them, but they're not like loot drops or anything like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kinda different.
And the enhancements or the buffs that they give you are really minuscule. I'm talking like 5%, 10% differences.
Yeah, they're not big.
I saw one thing that gave you like a 15% increase in something. I forgot what it was, but they're not very significant. I mean, I basically chose mine based upon what looked better for my character.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I went pure aesthetically and not what it gave me.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't like that. Could have used more, but in terms of weapons, I'm glad they toned that down because in Mass Effect 1, there was way too many weapons that were just the same.
Yeah,
that were just
that's
named
true.
Different. Like, I'm glad they got rid of that. You just
have
to
now there's just upgrades. And I actually like the upgrade system. It's like, okay, now I have, you know, you pick up a better version of a gun and that, you know, the less powerful version just kind of goes away. And it's like, once you find like the submachine gun, the automatic hand pistols just kind of go away because it's like the submachine gun is superior in every single way. So I like the way they do that. You know, it's not as much, but it's weird that you don't like attach ammo to a weapon anymore. It's a skill now.
What do you mean?
Well, in the first Mass Effect, when you got like cryo ammo, you attached that to the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a skill, and you have to actually put points into the skill.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of unusual.
That was kind of different.
But I also noticed that there's a lot less skills to put feed points into.
Mm-hmm.
Like
there's no character, basically no character skills at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of having like intimidate and charm. That's all handled by whether or not you're a Paragon or a Renegade.
Which I think is awesome.
I think that's awesome, too.
I like that.
I think it's awesome, too. It definitely is.
I'm not worried about I have to go parry. Like, I can actually make decisions and make my decision based on that exact event instead of thinking, crap, if I don't go total Paragon or Renegade, then I'm not going to get this. I know as long as I make a decision, I'm going to get points for it either way.
Right.
It's
gonna get, yeah. Well, the one thing that I enjoyed about that fact is because I don't have to dump skill points into that and think, oh, if I don't dump skill points into this now, I'm not going to get speech options later.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Will say, I don't know. I am in a problem with that, actually, because... And not a spoiler, really, but one of the main characters hates me right now. I did their loyalty quest, but they will not even talk to me. They basically say to me, I don't want to talk to you. I will come out there and help you fight in battle, but when we're not in battle, consider me dead. And there's two options. One's Renegade, one's Paragon, that I don't have access to at that point in the game.
Oh,
so I'm like, crap,
yeah.
I need to make her... Oh, okay, it's obviously her. like me, but... I don't know because
I think I know who you're talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So it's like I'm like I have those two options, but I need to open them somehow because I think she's awesome in battle. I don't know what's going to happen, but
all right, I need you to look at your Skype window right now. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Without a doubt.
I figured as much. Yeah, and you're right. She is badass, and I'm actually using her a lot right now, but. Yeah, it's, I've actually been doing the best I can to go full Paragon, so I have all those speech options opened up for me. Because it kind of seems like if you go full one way or the other, you will get like when you get to an area where you need to make that type of speech option, you'll have that option. It's what it kind of seems that way to me.
Yeah, I think so. But the thing is, like I said, mentioned last week, this game is making it so hard for me to go one way or the other, because there are times in this game where I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to be ready, because this is like, I think this is what should be done in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The first one, there was no events like that at all. The other one, I was like, okay. I'm like, they never really made me hate someone or something enough to like kill them off or have someone else kill them. But in this one, I'm like, fuck that guy, no. You know what? You want to take care of it? Go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. Do what you got to do.
Do you guys have itchy trigger fingers with those like quick time Paragon and Renegade things? It's like every time a Renegade one pops up, I'm like, oh, wait.
Because you know if you hit that button, something cool is going
to
happen.
I know. It's like I'm trying to think which one it was that something happened. But I knew that if I would have hit the Renegade, he just would have popped the guy.
Right.
One Renegade, which was awesome. It's I won't say when it is, whatever, but you headbutt a Krogan. That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, bitch, shut your mouth.
There is a really good interrupt that's on the, it's not a spoiler at all. It's on the Krogan homeworld.
Okay.
When you're doing one of the missions, there is an intense interrupt. And the interrupt actually gives you about a good 30 seconds
to make
the decision.
See, I don't think I got that one yet. I need you to tell me what that was and where, because someone else was talking about that too. It might have been Giant Bomb, and I'm like, I don't think I got that one, unless I hit the button way too early to realize it lasted that long. Or I'm trying to think of an intense moment that happened on that planet, and I can't really think of one right now. Was it during the loyalty quest or one of the main quests?
It was the loyalty quest, yeah.
Yeah, I've only done one of those so far, and it was Miranda's.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, yeah, type it to me in Skype or something, Travis, because I want to know where that is and see if I can go do it.
No problem. But, now, you know, we had talked about the, you know, how they took away the, a lot of the inventory management and everything. Another one of the big things they changed, and I'm really curious, about what you guys think about it, is the change from the Mako, from Mass Effect 1, you know, traversing the actual, planet surface in the vehicle. And now it's just, you know, you're scanning the planet for resources or scanning for anomalies to try to, you know, land on there. Yeah. So what do you think about that? 'Cause myself personally, I can see how it was flawed and how people, you know, could have really disliked the Mako, but I didn't have a problem with it. And I think scanning for minerals now is so tedious.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It's so tedious. I'm like, man, I really miss the Mako.
I'm going to say this. I don't miss the Mako. Not one damn bit.
I hated battling in that thing so much.
I
liked it. I didn't have a problem with it.
The thing handled like crap. It couldn't climb up, you know, mountains or anything like that. Okay, here's what they should have done. I kind of liked the way that they did like the little side planets, but you know the shuttlecraft that you come down in this one, that's what they should have done with that. That's what
like
should have been the vehicle. You take the shuttlecraft around the planet that way. Oh, look, there's a mountain that's like 80, you know, meters high or whatever, and you just fly over the son of a bitch. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah, and I mean,
that is cool.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was agreeing with him. That was it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I like the fact they did that because it trimmed down a lot of the fat on Mass Effect 1 where you couldn't go to every single planet because, let's be like, you can go to, like, a lot of those planets in Mass Effect 1, but a lot of them were there for, there's no reason they looked exactly the same as something else.
Yeah, they all look the same.
And I've heard some people complain that there doesn't seem like there's much to do in Mass Effect 2. There is tons. It's just that you're doing it in different ways. You're not going to the planets and looking for things. Your side missions aren't given to you the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am about, I think 17, 18 hours.
I can kind of see the point because, I mean, here's what it seems like to me. You start the game, you get your recruits, you finish the game. Mm-hmm. That's the main story, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other option is you start the game, you get your recruits, you make them loyal to you, and then you finish the game.
And there's also a lot of side missions in between all that.
Right.
Yeah,
but
you pick up randomly.
There's some, but it feels like, well, I don't know because I haven't beaten it yet, but so far it doesn't seem like there's as many as there were.
There's not as many, but every one is different and you never feel like you're doing the same thing twice.
And that's the good thing because a lot of the side missions in the first one were go to this cookie cutter planet and then find this cookie cutter building and kill these cutter enemies. Hey, I can't talk. I've had less than a beer. And I really I will say that whether or not you are satisfied with the amount that's in this game, the quality is much higher. It is much higher.
Frig, dude. Like, yeah, the graphics, I thought they were really good until I saw Tanya when she started playing Mass Effect 1, and I was like, holy crap.
Was it like
such a
night
huge
and day?
Jump. Sorry?
Was it like night and day?
Oh, it's totally night and day. It looks like a totally
really
different
is.
Game. Like, Mass Effect still looks good. Like, it would look good, but the lighting, the textures, everything is just so much better in 2. Just, if you haven't played 1 in a while, Chris, go back and pop it in, and you'll just be like, wow.
I was thinking about getting that last piece of DLC that I haven't gotten yet.
There you go.
and also, Chris, if you want to see, like, how good Mass Effect 2 looks, if you haven't downloaded Zaid, the DLC character, yet, when you do his loyalty mission, it has got to be the best-looking level in the game. Jeff,
shit,
have you done...
Now you're going to make me do it. I actually wasn't going to do his on purpose, because I've heard of some things that, depending on loyalty, can change at the end, and I wasn't going to do his because I really don't care for him, but now that you said that, I have to go there.
No, dude, Zaid is the best-looking character out of... including... that's Shepard included.
He's a downloadable character?
Zaid, yeah.
You're talking about the old dude, right?
Yeah.
The mercenary, really?
Yeah. The way they animated him, he is one of the like most realistic looking characters in the game. His loyalty mission is really, really good. Now, what people are criticizing with Zaid is that BioWare didn't really focus on if you're in between missions and you go meet him in the ship and you want to have conversations with him, when you actually click on him to talk, he just kind of talks like a normal NPC in the game where, you know, the caption just shows up on the bottom of the screen. He's just talking normally. You can't really interact with him talking.
Is this something that you get automatically when you buy the game? Is it part of the Cerberus network?
Yeah, if you just go to Cerberus Network.
The Cerberus Network.
Oh, all right.
It's on there,
right,
and you just have to download it, yeah. Right. And it's on there. But get him. He's really, really cool, and he's badass. Like, if you're looking for someone who's really, really proficient in combat, I like Zaid a lot, and I mainly take him on a lot of the, you know, missions.
I take Jack a lot because she just is just,
I take Jack
badass.
A lot. I take Miranda a lot because she's hot, and I take Garrus a lot. Oh, and Thane. Thane's freaking awesome, too. They actually feel like they're doing something in this one, which is really good. Like, they actually use their powers often.
Well, you could set it...
telling them to.
You could set it in the first one so that they would, like, go crazy with their powers.
Oh, that's right. I had them totally on auto in the first one.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was constantly telling them to do stuff. And, I don't know, this one, I just feel like, you know what? I don't even have to care about them at all. Unless I want them to do something really specific, but... I don't know, I don't know how people are saying that. Some people are saying that it's short because, like, I already have like almost 18 hours into it. I still have at least a third of the game to go. I still have to recruit one more person and do three more loyalty missions. Well, there used to be 2. Now I have to do 3 because I have to do Zaid's. And then, in the first game, I went through the entire game in 12 hours, my first playthrough. So,
See, I did all the side missions.
I'm more interested in this. Yeah, because I didn't do a lot of the side missions in the first one, and this one just makes the side missions so, I don't know, enticing to play. You want to play them, and they're different. Like,
because they're not cookie cutter.
No, like, I did 2 loyalty missions in a row, and they're both kind of similar in the way that they're very, very, like, battle-heavy and combat-heavy. And then I was like, okay, I hope not every loyalty mission's like this. But I did another one. I'm like, a totally different mechanic. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's like watching an episode of 24. I'm like, this is pretty awesome. So it does change it up really, really well.
And another cool thing about the random side missions that you do is that, and I'm talking like just stumbling upon a planet and, you know, Edie tells you there's an anomaly here. You'll do that mission. And then about, you know, a couple of missions later, you'll get an email saying, hey, you know, that mission you did on that one planet, well, we found something, some evidence from that planet. Go to this star system and do this mission. And so these missions, like a couple hours later, will, you know, they'll develop into new side missions for you. They're not just, you know, some are standalone, but some will actually develop into something else bigger.
That's pretty cool.
And that's really cool.
I like,
and
again, the email system. I actually read them.
Yeah,
like when they
I
give
you
an email,
yeah.
I'll be like, hey, you got an email. And some of them are missions. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we should, I don't know if you guys are up for it. I really want to do a spoiler special.
Oh, no doubt. We're going to
already,
do one.
I'm like, I don't want to get too much into the storyline, but man, like, there's so much stuff I want to know what happened. Like, some stuff, I'm like, I wonder what Travis and Chris and Jay, I wonder what they did for this because, I need to know.
Look, in this game.
I want to beat it twice, though, before we do. I kind of want to beat it twice.
Soon.
I do too. But this game is so good, and a game has never. I've done 2 things that a video game has never done for me, because it was so good. The first
made
thing
you a sandwich.
Well, no, it's not that good. But no, this game has... I've never beaten a game and jumped right back in it.
Yeah.
And started over. And started right over. And I've already done that. I started out with my Paragon, and now I'm jumping right back in with another character and doing the Renegade game.
Are you using your same import character you did for the other one?
No, I'm not. Actually, from Mass Effect 1, I had a Paragon and a Renegade character.
Yeah.
So now you're doing both.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. But it's so... It's so interesting. I actually want to go back to Mass Effect 1 and kind of play that, and that's something else that I've never done. I'm actually interested in jumping back to Mass Effect 1 again. I mean, and not just beat it a month ago in preparation for this. And like, I kind of want to get into it too and make even different decisions. Because from what BioWare is saying...
Wait until the third game, man.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're not only your decisions from Mass Effect 2 that's going to affect 3, but there are still decisions from 1 that are going to affect 3.
Yeah,
One thing that comes to mind is your decision whether or not you wanted to keep the Rachni alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came back.
And, well, I'm sorry for spoilers and everything, but I think statute of limitations is off for Mass Effect 1. But yeah, you have to make a decision if the Rachni live or die. And yeah, they kind of allude to it for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, but that's about
just
it.
It's gotta come back later on.
Oh yeah, for sure. When you first import your character, it has maybe 4 of the main choices you do, and I was kind of like, this is kind of lame. They only kept track of 4 choices, but then throughout the game, it makes references to so many choices
small side quests that you thought were useless. It's
that
like,
I forgot about.
Yeah, and,
like,
and,
hey,
and
Shep,
the people just pop
like,
up. Hey, you remember when you did this for me?
Like,
I was
no.
like, I do now.
Like, all right, that is cool. You get emails from like, oh, thank you for saving me in here. You didn't have to. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. That's, wow. It really keeps track of a lot of stuff you do.
Yeah, it really does.
Now, Jeff, you haven't beat it yet, right?
No, I'll definitely beat it by the end of this weekend because, yeah, I couldn't play it tonight. I think I'm about five or six maybe hours out. Basically, I got to do those 2 missions, and I got to do the, what's called? Is it the IPP mission or whatever it's called?
The IFF. The
IFF, that's it, yeah. And I hear that's kind of close to the end, right?
Yeah, that's like a mission or two before the very, very last level.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys aware, and BioWare, the PR guys actually came out and said this, so, I mean, they wanted people to know this so they can prepare accordingly for their suicide mission and everything.
That Shepard could die.
That Shoal Shepard could die, and that there's a very good possibility that you can come out of the game with not everybody surviving.
Yeah.
But it's based on your decisions throughout the game.
Exactly.
And actually how you deal with the last level that will make you decide, will make the game decide who lives and who dies. Guys, it's really, really tough. I'm going to prepare you. That last level gets really, really intense, and you make a lot of decisions, and you will sit there for 2 minutes like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
I don't want him to die. I saw the achievements for, like, survive the suicide mission, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And, like, have everybody survive the suicide mission. I'm like, oh, shit. This is going to be
tough. Well, let me tell you, I did not get that achievement. I lost 2.
Don't talk about that.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But be prepared to make some decisions. But it's great. The whole thing's great. There's nothing negative about the last level because it's a good sense of intensity. And it's really nice. BioWare did a good thing with that. But maybe we should kind of step off from. Massive.
Yeah, we're going into a little too much detail.
Yeah. Okay. Cool deal.
I will say this: the only thing that I would like to see changed about Mass Effect 2 is the speed of how quickly you can scan planets. Because it is very tedious.
Did you buy the upgrades?
I haven't seen the upgrade yet.
Oh, you can buy upgrades for it.
No, it's still tedious.
It's still slow and tedious, but it does speed it up quite a bit.
Yeah. I haven't seen that upgrade yet.
They did that on purpose, though. I mean, if they didn't do that, then everyone would have so much resources so early in the game and just buy all the good shit and be like, okay.
Yeah.
So I can see why they did it. Like, if you want these upgrades, you actually got to put work into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
check it out.
Sense.
You can get some. The only thing I think is it's more of a BioWare thing in general is I wish that all the characters you recruit, you could actually lose them before the end of a game. Like, kind of like how Dragon Age did it. Because in Dragon Age, your characters can leave at any time. Like, if you piss them off. And I don't think that can happen in Mass Effect. And there's times in Mass Effect where you could make a decision and you can, or you can be like, well, it's up to the character's decision, like what they want to do.
Right.
And so far, they have, none of them have decided like, hey, I'm not going to go with Shepard. So I kind of wish like if you had to make decisions throughout the game that could actually change like party members instantly, instead of having to definitely be able to go to the end of the game with everybody. But that's something that's like, I can see why they did that, because I mean, every character's awesome, and that'd be tough to be like, just get rid of them that early, but I don't know. But yeah, that's just like a really nitpicky thing.
Yeah,
very nitpicky.
And if I can say one last, if I can say one last quick thing, I've been reading all over the, because I have Mass Effect fever, and I've been reading all over the internet about the game, listening to plenty of podcasts, and a lot of people, even, you know, even though they like the game, they're bitching that they stripped it away from its role-playing elements that we've, you know, we kind of touched on earlier. But I say, fuck that. You look at all the role-playing games that have come out, the games that are classified in the role-playing genre. Look at Demon's Souls, look at your Final Fantasies, look at Fable, even Zelda, they call it an action RPG, all right? You do more role-playing in Mass Effect
than any other game.
Than you do in any video game anywhere. Like,
yeah,
it is amazing. Like, the closest thing to do role-playing in Mass Effect, in my opinion, is playing tabletop D&D or something like that. Like, you have to really put yourself in your Shepard's shoes.
Yeah, they're your decisions.
And play, and literally play that role. And you got to give BioWare their props for being able to pull something like that off.
They did something relatively new.
Absolutely.
And I think people just put too much emphasis on role-playing game and video game sense. Always has to be more stats, more skills, more all of that crap, and more grinding. That doesn't necessarily mean role-playing game, as per se. Like, I still consider Mass Effect a role-playing game for what it's worth.
Absolutely.
I don't know. People, I think, are just getting too picky with it. Be like, oh, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't follow the D&D rules, or there's not 20 stats I can put points into, or I don't have to grind for 2.5 hours before I fight a boss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's cool deal.
It's good. And it's working. I mean, the first one sold well, but it did not sell over 2 million in its first week, that's for sure.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's like Gears of War Halo numbers right there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They pulled it off somehow.
Cool.
Yep.
Is it still my turn?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to keep talking about Mass Effect, but fuck.
Today I took advantage of the Xbox Live deal of the week for Splosion Man, and while we were setting up for the podcast,
nice.
I've been playing that, and man,
it's fun.
That game is fun as shit.
Yeah, I played
it
some
really,
that
really
too,
good.
Actually.
So I mean, I won't talk too much about it because I've only played maybe 10 minutes, but I'm really going to enjoy
that
game.
Wait until you get later, man. It gets, some of the things get so complicated, but so damn satisfying when you like. I just beat a level yesterday, I think it was, the day before, that I literally, like, I put the game down because of this level. Like, I am not doing this level. I'm not getting past this. I'm not putting on easy. I've come to terms. Whatever. I'm not beating this game. I put it in, and I beat it on my first try. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm right back into it again.
Well, you get into these, like, really, really nice, really fast, like, bam, bam, bam flows that, like, once you're done with it and you didn't fail on it, like, you just, like, knocked it off in one fell swoop, it's so satisfying. You're like, yes, I cannot believe I just did that just now. It's really, really fun.
Wait until you get to all the turbo boosts and all the crazy, crazy stuff. It's awesome.
And then the character, the actual Splosion Man himself, like, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
like he stops and he's doing, like, an animation. You move him for a second and stop him, he's doing another animation. Like,
yeah, he's got like, ADD. He's like, I gotta keep moving,
crazy. You know what he kind of reminds me of? He kind of reminds me of Earthworm Jim, like, the way he moves.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And, like, how he's always dancing and jumping around. It kind of reminds me of that. It's really, really cool. So
I actually just picked it up. It's waiting for me to download now, so.
Cool. Oh, I thought you had that already. For some
no,
reason.
I don't. I didn't.
Oh man, I think you will like really, really like it, Chris. I think it's totally up your alley.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's a different kind of platformer that works really well. I can't wait for the next game. I need to download them all. Actually, I want to try that.
What else, Travis?
Well, that is it. No Modern Warfare. It's been all Mass Effect, and I played Explosion Man today, and then Myst. So that's, you know, man.
All right, Jeff, take it away.
Man, like, I played a lot of games. of course, Mass Effect 2, which I want to talk about, but I'll spare everybody until the until
we just talked about
special.
It for half an hour, Jeff.
I know, but it could have been so much longer.
It will be so much longer when we do the spoiler
said.
Episode.
I played a lot of fighting games over the weekend, man. I played a lot of Street Fighter 4, a lot of... I actually played some Tekken 6. Tatsunoko versus Capcom. I got that. I ordered it from Amazon. It came really quick. I think I ordered it on Wednesday, and I got it on Friday. I was like, cool. I didn't even get the super speedy delivery or anything like that. And I'm like, oh, cool. And that game is pretty damn awesome.
I mean, it's fun as hell. I love it.
The only thing holding it back is it's on the Wii, and I don't mean that to be like the Wii is crap, but its online is crap.
Yeah, the online is crap. You have to deal with the friend codes and...
Mm-hmm. And even then, kind of every match I played online was... It's a crapshoot whether or not it's going to be laggy or not. And I've seen some bad lag in this game. Like, I'm talking worse than King of Fighters 12 lag, where there's one match, after 5 minutes, I had to reboot my Wii because it was going that slow... And none of us were even close to having one character down in health. That's how bad it was. Wow. It was literally like frame of animation, 5 seconds, frame of animation. Like, it was really bad. And I didn't want to disconnect. So I'm like, I don't want to get a disconnect against my record, which I don't even think it counts now that any now anyway. So I finally was like, screw this, turned off my Wii, put it back on. But I mean, I played with a couple, one person, Captain Harlock, who has the game, and our lag was okay. There's a little bit of input lag and stuff, which is kind of annoying, but you got used to it after a while. But I really like it, man. It's a good step in the direction that I hope Capcom takes more of their Versus games in, because I don't think the game is going to do too well, because I don't think that many people know what Tatsunoko is. And I'll admit, I didn't know really who they were. Like, I knew what they were, but I didn't know any of the characters. And to me, all the characters kind of looked the same when I first got it. And I know it's kind of like, that's kind of a double entendre there, because, I mean, you can look at it two ways, but it's like, I don't know. And then I started playing with these other characters, and I'm like, wow, these guys are pretty damn badass, and... Yeah, I don't know. They simplified things to an extent, but then added more stuff, so even like the really seasoned fighting fans versus fans can still get a lot out of it, which I like. It's so easy to pick up and play, but also hard to master, I think, as well. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to do a written review for it. Hopefully that'll be up by Monday, I'm hoping.
Okay.
So,
Is playing with a pad okay with that?
I'm playing with a pad right now. I almost bought a stick, but I mean, I can't justify a stick for literally that's going to be one game.
Yeah.
And especially a game that I actually do believe, if it doesn't come out in its form that it is now, somehow it will come over to PS3 and 360, like in some other Versus game, and not the two. I don't know, because...
Right.
If they have to. I really hope they're not judging sales on the Wii version as whether or not they continue the series, or the Versus series in general, because I think that's a bad place to put it. But yeah, the pad's okay. After After I'd say about an hour of playing, my thumb, because the D-pad really started to hurt, and it took a lot of getting used to
it. Now, you have the classic pad, right?
I had the classic pad.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was using, too. I really didn't have much of a problem, but...
Well, I didn't have a problem, it just my thumb started to hurt.
Right,
like,
that's
worked.
What I mean.
Like, there was nothing wrong with the inputs, but I mean, like... But you were probably... Were you playing it constantly for an hour, or were you going to hand the controller off? Like,
yeah, we were switching off.
Yeah, so I mean, your thumbs had a rest. So it's like, I was playing like for more than an hour straight without passing off any controller. So like playing online, and it started to get a little bit tender. And I was like, this is when I really wished I had the Sega Saturn D-pad. That never happened. But yeah, it was okay. It took some getting used to because I'm a stick guy for fighting games, and still a lot of the combos and stuff and timing's a little bit off because Harlock does have a stick, and he was just pulling some stuff off like so much faster than I could. I'm like, God. Fuck it. And I hated to blame the stick, but I'm like, dude, I can't... I'm using my thumb. It's so damn hard. Luckily, though, it only uses three buttons, so you don't have to use, like, six or nothing.
Yeah, it's light, medium, and fierce, and then you have a switch button, your team button.
Yeah. So. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. If you like fighting games at all, and if you have the Wii, I would say go out and get it, because I really think it's a big step up for the Versus series,
yeah,
and I hope
they
continue it. I downloaded the Alien vs. Predator demo.
Oh, how was that?
I played that too. Shit, I played
only a couple games. I didn't know how to switch to Alien or Predator in the lobby. I don't know if I just didn't see the option or whatnot, so I was stuck with the Marine.
Yeah.
How do you do it, Travis?
It's easy. When you're in the lobby, there's three small... I don't remember what the
options
are.
There's icons, yeah.
But there's three icons that give you three little options on the bottom, like go back into the main menu. And this is, but if you go back, if you look up top, there's a big box, and it shows... For you, it would have shown a Marine.
Okay.
It would have shown the default Marine, the bald white guy. It would have showed that right there. And if you take your cursor and move it up to the big box, click on it, and you can move left or right to Alien or Predator.
Okay.
Yeah. And you just played Marine?
I just played Marine, and I felt they were way underpowered, but like I only played two games. I didn't know exactly if I had different equipment I should be using or
right.
whatnot, but I was getting killed like so often by aliens and predators. I felt like they had so many one-hit deaths that I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'd be, what I thought was staring an alien down, shooting at it, it would run up to me, smack me with its tail, and next thing you know, I'm dead. And I'm like, what the fuck? But I don't know, the one thing it did nail, though, I thought was the intensity and suspense that the Aliens movie had. Like, there was actually a time when I was playing the demo, like, once I realized, holy crap, you can't really go running around gunning because you're going to get your ass killed because it's so dark and you got to use your flashlight because those aliens, they're hard to see. And I was in this area and I'm walking around and all of a sudden I just hear, like, the sound in this game is really good. Like, I just heard screaming. Like, and like, because there's only like three Marines, I think, that was in this game, or two. It was me and one other dude. Mm-hmm. And I heard screaming. I'm like, okay, that guy just got killed, and I heard it, so it's got to be close. So I start backing up. And there's nothing on my motion tracker, so I'm like, okay, I'm looking around with my flashlight. It's really dark. I can't really see much. And can't hear that much. And all of a sudden, the motion tracker picks up a beep. It's like beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, and I see two dots coming towards me. I'm like, oh shit, oh shit. I'm looking everywhere, looking everywhere. One of them stops, and this is straight out of Aliens. I love this. Maybe be like, I might actually buy this game. It's like right, it should have been right in front of me. And I'm like, where the fuck is this thing? I don't see it anywhere. It's not killing me. What's going on? And it came up from a hole underneath me and killed me. Like, there's like a stairway I didn't even know was there, and it came right up through there, and he got me. And I'm like, oh my god, that was badass. And it, yeah, my heart was racing. Like, it should be right there. What the hell? Like, this is crazy.
I agree with you that they really nailed the aesthetic. I'm a huge fan of Aliens, the second movie. And pretty much, and I've seen the movie 100 times. they pretty much cut and paste all the sounds, like the sound from the radar, the beep beep beep. Yeah, that's the, you know, directly track from the film. And, well, I have the same, you know, gripes with you. The humans seem very, very underpowered. And what Rebellion does a good job at is separating the three, you know,
like
the three factions.
I guess you
know,
can
they,
say,
they
yeah.
really do. Cause I didn't play the Predator. I wish I did because I really do feel the Predator has the upper hand. The two games that I played, it was always a Predator that won, out of everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
It was both times.
Mine was actually Aliens. But
really?
Yeah,
really?
I played two games, both times was Alien. But
interesting.
There can only, is this true? I think there can only be a certain amount of Predators per level.
I'm not sure.
But that's what someone was talking today. So that'd be kind of cool. That'd be a way
I do criticize Rebellion's choice for the multiplayer demo. I think they tout seven game modes, up to 16
18 players,
something like that. And they do a player deathmatch.
Yeah, which everyone I've talked to say deathmatch is not the way you play Alien vs. Predator.
No,
like
I think it was a terrible choice. At least team deathmatch is something different.
The main game mode in there where it's every species on. So if you're Marines, you only kill aliens and predators. If you're predators, you only kill Marines and aliens.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
That's the main one. Like
I
go
agree.
With that.
I agree. And to touch on another race, since I played the Xenomorphs, they are. It's badass because you have the.
Yeah, I bet. I kept getting my ass kicked by them.
It's hard to explain. When you're a Marine, you have just your guns. It plays like a basic first person shooter. And the upper hand, everybody has an upper hand. All right. The Marine's upper hand is the radar. And you can tell how close they are because the faster it beeps, the closer they are. And that's the Marine's upper hand.
And range attacks, too.
Like and the range attacks. The Predator, of course, they have their range attacks, but their upper hand is being able to be invisible or somewhat invisible. You can still kind of see them.
Yeah.
But with the Xenomorphs, their upper hand is they kind of have...
Lightning quick?
Well, being lightning quick. But see, the thing is, they're so hard to control. For an alien that's supposed to be so agile and pinpoint, like precise, and you know, with how they attack,
all you're
doing is flinging your tail around. I can't miss. Like they're
really?
very hard.
Now, is that
like,
just because the controls you're not used to? Maybe because I don't know. I don't know if the guys who I was playing against were just like experts, but there was a couple that were just surgical with that shit.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that when you play as the Xenomorph more, you're going to be better, but there are things that, you know, that these aliens can do in the movie that I wish they could do. Like, you know how the level that you play as, that you play in, there's like, mm-hmm. you know, holes in the ground you can drop down to the next level, yeah. you know, and with the xenomorphs, you can like crawl on the walls, you can crawl on the ceilings, which is really hard sometimes to actually, if you're on the ground, to get to the ceiling. Sometimes, you know, it'll say, you know, press right trigger to get on the wall. Like, it doesn't really get you on the wall all the time. Sometimes you just have to jump, and you'll like jump, and then after jumping, because your hands are in front of you and you're kind of doing an animation, so when you jump, you're like, okay, am I on the wall or am I on the ceiling? Where am mm-hmm. I at? Where am I at? And it's kind of hard.
Does it flip the camera so it always looks like you're on the ground but you don't really
yeah exactly.
Oh,
it does exactly.
Okay, so that's
that
kind of,
they're
yeah,
very very hard to control, but they are very satisfying when you get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They have the stun sorry. Attacks. Predators and aliens both. They have a stun attack, and the humans don't have this. So, like for instance, with the alien, you can like pop them with the tail, and that'll stun them for like 2 seconds. And when you do that, an option on the screen will appear, and it says press X to grab. And you press X, you have only a certain time to do it, but when you press it, boom, you'll grab and you'll get the animation where you'll stare them in the face, and then like the mm-hmm. smaller mouth will pop through their skull or something.
Yeah,
and it's really
yeah,
satisfying.
I was on the receiving end of that a bunch of times. And I can't blame it. The bouncing is probably better. That is my biggest worry. But at the same time, when you're doing those animations at the aliens, they're stuck there, stable, like in one spot for a long time. So I'm sure if anyone comes up behind them or beside them, they can take them out right after they kill
or
whatnot.
Yeah,
so,
you can definitely kill them the same time they're killing someone else.
Yeah, so I think that's not big. But man, Chris, I don't know if you're a big Aliens fan, but there's so many things. Like, the game I know is not going to be great, but so many things. Just like the one other Marine, I heard him firing off in the distance, so I went down a tunnel. I see him firing at an alien, and the reflection, like his barrel was lighting up the area, and right above on the ceiling coming towards me was another alien that I never would have seen. And like, that is it, because it's flat, it's kind of like got a strobe light effect, and the alien's coming at me on the on the thing. I'm like, that is so awesome. And because of that, I saw
too.
Oh my dude, I was playing it before I went to work, so I'm thinking like 10:30 in the morning, and I was like, playing this at night would be creepy as hell. And just I don't know, man, it went from like probably maybe rent to I think I might actually pick this up based on review. Like, balancing is the one issue I'm really, really worried about.
Yeah.
But,
and also,
I don't know.
Maybe the single player is really, really good too.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't owned an Alien game since Alien 3, and I really like Aliens and Predators, so
mm-hmm.
what the hell?
Cool.
If it's a turd, it's a turd. Everyone's got to buy at least one turd a year, right? So,
right. Come on, Rebellion, don't do us wrong. I can probably say this is probably going to be Rebellion's best game, but it's not saying much.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the PC one and the Jaguar one got really good reviews that they did years ago, but that was years ago.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like it. I like the characters in it. I love the atmosphere, so we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Cool.
I'm going to be an alien next, yay. I beat Darksiders.
Sweet.
Didn't platinum it or nothing like that, but I completed it, and thank God. Well, hopefully there's going to be a sequel. I mean, there might not be. Who knows? Depending on how well it's sold and THQ and what they want to announce or anything. But I'm looking forward to it. I like the way it ended. And like you said, Chris, like at that ending, I couldn't help but smile.
I know.
As well.
Seriously. It's like it's short as shit, but it's like, ah. And now like, all you can think about is, when's the sequel coming out?
Yeah, exactly. And it was so satisfying. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, that's so awesome. Great game. Really good game. People need to go buy that.
It's brilliant. It's magic.
It's really good. Look at this. Dude, 2010, I've already played 3 games that are probably, well, 2 of them for sure are going to be on my game of the year list.
Yeah.
Like 100%. That's unbelievable. But yeah, other than that, dude, that's it, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, some Explosion Man here and there. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I won't take up too much more time because we've been talking about distractions for a while, and we've already covered Mass Effect. I played a little bit more Zelda. I'm still, like, picking away at that game one at a time. So,
it sounds like you're really loving it.
Oh, it's great. I'm having to. Well, I mean, it's not that it's horrible. See, it's just that it's not what I want Zelda to be. Darksiders is what I want Zelda to be.
I gotta say something right now. Like, okay, and this is kind of off topic, but not really. But we have had, like, at least a couple people on GLF has gave us a little bit of flack for Infamous was our runner-up game of the year, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. For being Infamous game of the year, because they think that in no way it should be better than a lot of these other games that we nominated or whatnot, because it's just technically better. And Zelda is a technically good game for the DS, but that does not mean the game is fun and it's going to draw you in.
Yeah, and when we talk about our games, we're talking about how much fun we have.
Exactly. Yep. It's how much we go back, how much we like it, how much we play the game, how much fun. Fun is number one, man. That's I don't care if fucking give me a dot and do some things with it. If that's a lot of fun, then whatever.
Man, that dot is awesome. Yeah.
Can go
3D dot game heroes. That looks like fun.
Oh yeah, just wanted to say that because that just really bugs me. Like, just consider if it's a well made game, it's got to be up for Game of the Year. I'm like, nah, no, I don't think that's the right way to go.
I agree, but
the movie could be really well made, but if it's boring as shit, it's boring as shit. I'm not gonna watch it.
Avatar.
I'd fucking even see it. The only other thing I've been playing besides like Mass Effect is White Knight Chronicles, which came out on Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
And. Well, I'm going to come out and say it. I am a little disappointed.
You can't be surprised, really.
I'm really not. And I kind of lowered my expectations when I saw the Famitsu reviews come out after the game was released in Japan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to keep my eye on it. I still really want to play it. You know, I'm still interested. It's level 5. I'm a level 5 fanboy. But really, I can't say that much about it because I just started playing it. You know, okay.
Have you played online yet or no?
I've played one mission online. That's all I had time to do. Okay. And it wasn't typical of what the online will be because I was playing with John and John's fucking level 23 already or whatever.
Oh my God.
And I'm level 5. So it's like we're running around. And this is actually something that I was going to bring up as an issue that bothered me. All right. As a level 5 character, we're running around in a mission where all the enemies are for level 8 characters. It's like the mission is for level 8 plus. So I'm level 5. He's level 23. When you get experience whether you land an attack or not, right? You always get the same amount of experience. So, you know, John is getting like 14, 15 experience for things. I'm getting 2. It's like, since when does the lower character guy get less experience than the higher character guy in an online RPG? When does that happen?
It's like that Final Fantasy XI thing where, like, if you have someone that's way above level in your party of, like, but, you know, people who are...
But the difference is that in Final Fantasy XI, the person who's that much further ahead of you in your party, they don't get any experience either. John was actually getting, like, 10 or 12 more experience points than I was, and I was only getting 2. And he's getting, like, 14, 15 experience. And it didn't make any sense. And I was like, all right, well, I'll tell you what. It's probably because you're this level. Why don't I jump into the mission myself and see what happens? So I jump into the exact same mission by myself, kill one guy, 160 experience points. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Got to be kidding me.
You think it's actually designed that way? That's something they could patch, though. Someone's got to bring that up. That's going to be like...
But it's
all
so
5
backwards.
People who bought the game are going to be upset and posting in their forums.
It's so backwards.
That just sounds broken.
Yeah, it is. And yes, Jeff, I did hear you.
I know.
But yeah, the story is throwaway, just like I thought it was going to be, but, you know...
Well, I mean, that's kind of a given.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought was really cool in theory was the idea of making your avatar and the fact that he was going to be in the party and all that stuff. And he's actually part of the story mode. not so well in practice. He's in all the cutscenes and everything like that. And it's like, you know, you see these cutscenes with all the characters and they're supposed to be these major dramatic scenes, even though they're really not. It's like, you know, someone gets killed and you're this major dramatic scene and all of a sudden there's my guy in the background doing nothing, just sitting there. It's like, what are you doing there? Why are you there?
One of your friends like an extra in a movie.
Exactly.
And you watch a movie, you're like, and pause. Right there. I'm right there. I'm right there.
and it's like your character has no lines. He never talks. He's just silent the whole time. And it's just kind of awkward, you know? And I mean, I applaud level 5 for trying a lot of cool shit. I mean, there's a lot of things in this game that are really, really good ideas. And I think that White Knight Chronicles is definitely a game they can build on. I think it's something that if they made a few tweaks here and there, they could really make this awesome. Right now, that's what it is, though. It's a building block.
They don't make much sequels, though, right? Like, Dark Cloud 1 and 2, or are they the only sequels they've really made?
Well, and then if you look at Professor Layton as well, and yeah. they're doing Dragon Quest, but I don't know if you count that. But White Knight Chronicles 2 has already been announced in Japan.
Okay. Oh, okay. So they are definitely doing a sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
From what I understand, they are doing a sequel. So they, but they do have a lot of something good to build upon. The online was... When I was playing with John, there was zero lag. It was really smooth. It's a little convoluted to get things started, but that's normal for a PSN game at this point.
Your
it's like
GeoNet thing.
Yeah,
Do you have to have a separate GeoNet name from your PSN name?
No, your GeoNet name is your PSN name.
Okay.
The difference is you have a separate GeoNet friends list.
Okay.
But all you do is you put in your friend's PSN name and it brings them up.
Okay.
And they have to already have registered for GeoNet.
Okay, so you have to register for GeoNet?
Well, kind of sort of. The first time you get into GeoNet, the first time you go into it, you'll like have to look at a license agreement and then you'll have to, you know, choose what you want it to be called, because it's like they do this like your username dot and then this,
yeah, whatever the thing is,
yeah, like an island or a castle or land or whatever, and you know, so you go through this little like short 4 or 5 step process and then you're in. So it's not like you're going and registering for it and all that stuff.
Why would they do that? I don't get that's to me that's dumb. Why can't they just have it like, if you meet people, you just add them right to your White Knights Chronicles friends list, so to speak, and then if you have people on your friends list, you can invite them into the game.
Well, the registration is more for your city.
Oh, okay.
For the Georama. Yeah. And the Georama, you don't really get... I haven't really gotten a chance to mess around with that much, mm-hmm. but once you get that registered, then any of your friends can actually go to your little town, even if you're offline. So online or offline, they can go and hang out in your town, and that's kind of how the lobby is set up. It's like your lobby is 12 people in your little town. So that's why they do it that way. And I think it's kind of a cool idea. I mean, you go in and you've got shops there and stuff like that, and you can recruit NPCs from the story mode to populate your town and stuff like that. So, you know, As I said,
like pay them to be your friends.
Pretty much.
Coming to my town. Yeah,
as I said, it's a lot of cool. It's a lot of things that are really cool in theory, and I think they can fix them for White Knight 2. But in this one,
so hopefully you're hoping they do the opposite of what Phantasy Star Online did, was do everything awesome in the first one, then turn it to shit for the second one.
Hey, I liked Phantasy Star Universe. Fuck you. I still don't know. How I feel about the game 100% yet, because I haven't really played it enough. I played like 3 or 4 hours of the story mode, and I've played one online mission. And, you know, I was talking to like John and Mark from PS Nation and some other people, and they said that they got online yesterday and had a blast. So I really think that's where the strength of the game is going to be. The combat is fun for me, and the combos that you can, you know, your custom made combos that you create are really cool. And I think that's where the fun is going to be in this game. And that's, you know, cool. That's why I liked Rogue Galaxy so much. Rogue Galaxy had a kind of a cliche story, but you know, it was fun to play. And I think this is going to be similar situation.
That's good. That's the only reason I would have bought something like that is totally for the online. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of wish Level 5 did their traditional art style.
Yeah. I actually
trying to look like every other Japanese role playing game out there. But
I was actually talking about that on GLF, I think I said, because, you know, the game has not been exactly well received so far. It's
to say the least.
But I will say this, of all the reviews out there, I think that the game trailers one, they gave it like a 7.6, right, or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty close to an 8.
I think that's pretty accurate. You know, a lot of the stuff that they said was pretty accurate so far from what I've seen. But, right. Yeah, it's a JRPG. If you like them, you'll like it. If you don't, you're not going to like it.
And it's multiplayer, so I mean, that shit's cool. How many people online can play at one time?
Four people per mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
And
cool beans. Voice chat?
Voice chat. Voice chat works really well. Fully customizable characters. You know, it's...
Fat loots?
So far, I haven't really seen any fat loots, but apparently you get into this, you get into a system where you can create weapons and stuff, and that's where the fat loot starts coming in.
Okay. Anything you have to create stuff, meh.
It really depends on how difficult it is to do it. It's like, when it came to Phantasy Star Universe, that's probably one of the things, that's the thing that brought it down the most, is that they ditched loot for this crafting system. And, you know, it's just, I guess it really depends on how easy they make it to craft things. So we'll see how that works out.
Right on.
Cool.
What else? Anything else you've been playing? It's got to be something else. Something else, maybe?
No, that's it. That's it. It's seriously, up until White Knight came out, it was all about Mass Effect. And now I'll be splitting my time between the two.
Ah, game is so good.
It is good. It is good.
It really, like, it's no hyperbole here. That's one of the best games I've ever. I won't say it. I'm not going to complete that sentence until I'm done beating the game. It took 2 hours for it to grab me. It literally, I told you guys that last week. Like, I was like, okay, it's more Mass Effect, which I love, but we can't go back into Mass Effect.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Jeff, you can get into news, though.
Let's get into news. News is good. So Mass Effect sold 2-point-something copies. That's a good game. You guys played that game?
I think I have played that game, yeah. Just a little bit.
That's actually not even on my list, but I want to keep talking about Mass Effect. Actually, this actually was released the day we recorded last week, so we couldn't put it in there, but the GTA 4 DLC that Microsoft paid $50 million for to Rockstar to be exclusive is hitting the PC and PS3 this year, actually just in a couple months.
Yep.
So Ballad of Gay Tony and Lost in the Damned. It's going to be released for, I believe, both DLC and on a disc. No, I think it's just on a disc for the PS3, isn't it?
I don't remember.
It's probably Stories from Liberty City.
It's a Story from Liberty City, so it's a retail disc that's coming out. So, I mean, some people saw this. I'm surprised none of us even... That would have been hilarious if someone predicted this on our show and it happened actually that night.
That would have been kind of funny.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not really surprising. I don't think it's really going to do much for people who... I don't think it's going to do anything for PS3s, but it's good for people who have GTA 4. Because, I mean, Microsoft got what they wanted. They got their announcement, and if they think it was worth $50 million, then that's up to them. But
yeah, you got to wonder if they're kind of, you know, pissed at themselves about doing that now.
I don't know, because it's been pretty much proven that anything that has exclusivity after 6 months, it doesn't even matter. Like, they can release anything after that,
but,
and it sells a fraction of what it does.
Yeah.
And Microsoft didn't buy it to say they didn't buy it so that it sells well on 360. They bought that exclusive right so they can announce it when GTA was announced, and so that would push sales.
Yeah,
the console.
But did they get their $50 million back?
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, 360 has a 6 to 7 million lead right now in North America.
Yeah, but it was 9 million before, at the beginning of last year.
Oh, beginning of last year, but this was announced, what, 2 years before that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could have contributed to people's decision. There's no way to tangibly say yes it did or no it didn't. But I'd say what like the Xbox did and how 360 is doing now, I don't know if they can actually say it was worth it or not, really, unless there was some way to really tell how many people bought it for that.
Yeah, it'd be hard to tell.
But I mean, it did sell over 1 million copy, close to 1 million, because that was the bet I lost. It was 900 and something thousand more in the first week on 360. So that's a pretty decent number. And the spike on 360s that week was ridiculous. So, I mean, who knows? But
look, I think they're, you know, you were saying that, you know, I don't think they were trying to sell more games or trying to sell more consoles, which that is true. But I think, you know, Microsoft did the correct thing. And I think in time, they'll see a return on investment on that, because, yeah, you're going to sell more consoles, you're going to sell more of the games. But also, they really touted that, you know, this is the first GTA that was going to be, you know, online. You're going to have multiplayer, co-op multiplayer, competitive multiplayer. So therein, that gives you more Xbox Live subscriptions on top of that. That is 100% margin right there.
That's free,
I mean,
that's
for them.
Money.
That's all margin. And, you know, so they recoup profit there, because most of the time, if you're a fan of the Xbox and you get your first taste of Xbox Live, you're going to want to keep it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm just trying to think what came first, the announcement of GTA 4 downloadable content, or the Microsoft, oh, shit, we're sorry, guys, we're going to extend a 3-year warranty to everyone who bought a 360. If it came after or before the warranty, I'd be like, yeah, they probably kicking themselves, but yeah, that was a bad idea. $50 million, yeah, that's, I don't know. But yeah, either way, it's coming to people. If people don't have a 360 and they still have GT4 for their PS3, then there you go. Because apparently they're both really good. I know Travis played them. I have not played either of them. I don't think Chris has either, as far as I know.
They're better than the original campaign.
That's what a lot of people say. And they didn't do too well, so. Who knows? Another game that hasn't been doing well at all for the past, like, what, 10 years? It's probably Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog, ever since Sonic Adventure, and I think Sonic Adventure 2 did really well, actually. I think it actually did better than the first one. Sonic's been pretty much downhill. And
that
everyone's
is true.
Been saying, since then, we want a new Sonic the Hedgehog.
We want a new proper Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, proper. Yeah. We don't want him to have guns. We don't want him to have these... like little friends.
He doesn't need to turn into a fucking werewolf.
Werehawk, exactly.
Or bang human chicks.
Or bang human chicks.
Yeah, creepy.
He's a hedgehog.
Sega's answering, and the Sonic the Hedgehog 4 was announced yesterday. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be coming to PSN and Xbox Live and the Wii.
Needle Mouse?
Yep, Needle Mouse was the Project Needle Mouse is what they were calling it for the longest time. And the Wii version is going to run at 480, and the PS3 and 360 versions are actually going to be in 1080p. So
it's going to be so pretty.
And you can check out the trailer by going to interactivedistractions.com. It is actually linked in there in the news article. It's actually embedded, so you don't have to click on a link. You just got to hit play, do it, and
it's very nice.
It's very nice. And it looks like 2D Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
which
it does. And to be honest with you, I can't even tell if it's 2.5D or if they sprited that.
It looks... I don't know either. It kind of looks like it could go either way. I mean, it's really quick. It's not a very long trailer. It's basically
short.
From 90-whatever, from the first one to where it is now. And I don't know. I'm buying it day one. It's Sonic. It's a new Sonic's proper. I don't have to look.
Same
I know
here.
People love the DS versions, but I couldn't play the DS versions because I hated the fact that it used both screens, and that gap in the screen really annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's rough.
So, yeah,
and
cool.
It'll be cheap.
Yeah, it will be cheap, and it's also going to be episodic. So, who knows how they're going to do that? They said it was kind of like in the Sonic the Hedgehog 3. That was kind of episodic. There's Sonic the Hedgehog 3, then, what was it, a year later came out Sonic and Knuckles, which is the add-on for it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'll be pretty cool. Looking forward to it. And, I mean, if Xbox Live and PSN has proved something, retro games like this do sell and do well. So maybe this could be Sonic's return.
I will be getting this on PSN, just so you guys know.
Oh, well, I will too, just because, well, D-pad, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a given. Another game that we talked about earlier, Darksiders. It is getting a sequel, THQ announced the other day that a few of their games, actually three in their games in between, they're hitting up Red Faction 2.
Boop.
Red Faction Guerrilla. I want to say Guerrilla Warfare. That's the Nintendo.
Red Faction Guerrilla Warfare.
Yes. That they're getting a sequel to that. Saints Row, which isn't really a surprise because both Saints Rows did pretty damn well.
Right.
And, of course, Darksiders 2, which we all want to see a sequel. And this is actually funny because we were talking about it literally a couple days, like the day before this was announced, saying we hope that it got a sequel, and there was some kind of article somewhere saying that they doubt it's going to because it hasn't been selling well and whatnot and all these other excuses. But then the next day, THQ, yeah, we're making Darksiders 2. What about it? It's going to be awesome. Yeah, cool. By the way, check out Saints Row and Red Faction as well. Peace out.
Loving me some THQ right now.
By the way, UFC 2010, later this year.
I am trying to get in touch with them to get them on the show. It hasn't been working so far.
Sweet. Nice. And also, they said Red Faction 2 is going to be playable at E3. Hopefully that
sticks.
Cool.
Hopefully it will too. You know what else is going to be playable at E3, though? If that's not there and you want to play something else, Travis? Cause,
what's that?
You know, help me there. The new Zelda game for the Wii.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. We alluded to it last week when no one really mentioned it because we thought it was already it was kind of already announced. But Nintendo's saying that it will hopefully be playable at E3. They have they started working on it last year. It's gonna be exclusive to control wise. It's gonna use the Wii Motion Plus. So if you don't have Wii Motion Plus, shit of luck.
Yeah, that's kind of weird that they did it that way.
Why not? More sales.
More sales, but I mean, just in terms of the gameplay, I think it could make for a better game.
Maybe
if they can do more. You know, base the sword fighting that
based
really,
more
really
on
controls.
Darksiders?
I mean, if the Wii Motion Plus makes the waggle the way it's supposed to be, like when it was originally, you know, shipped in box, you know, instead of just swinging to the left and, you know, Link does a generic swing, you know, make it more based on how you really move in the Wiimote. I think, I don't know, I might be interested in Zelda.
Okay, Travis, why don't you tell us how you really feel? No, I'm just kidding, guys. It's not going to be guy. No, I was going to throw it out. I was going to
spunk you, Jeff.
Like, I knew it, yeah! But no, it's not. No, no, but I mean, as much as I've never really completed a Zelda, I am kind of looking, I'm always interested to see the Zelda games, because I always at least play them. And if anything, Darksiders, I think I can go back and play Twilight Princess. Just because, you know. Come from the inspiration. No,
I'm not gonna
I shouldn't bother. The what?
I'm not gonna play it.
All right then.
I liked Twilight Princess. So.
I didn't mind it for what I played. I can't. Something happened. And I stopped playing it, and I was enjoying it for what I played. So I don't know.
Waggle happened.
I didn't mind the waggle for it. Actually, the truth, because it was a very lazy waggle.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it was there's too much side missions at one point, and I stopped playing for a week, and I was like, what am I supposed to do?
Where am I?
Yeah. You might want to figure out something to do when Final Fantasy 13 comes out on the 360. Because this is actually announced a couple weeks ago. We didn't really report on it because I guess somehow we missed it. But it's going to be on three discs. So I guess sometime between, you know, what, 70 to 80 hour game, you're going to have to get up and switch the disc twice.
Oh my gosh. This is kind of weird because didn't they say it was going to be four? At one point,
I think they said their goal was to get it four or under.
Oh,
and
they
got
on their
three,
goal.
So they got to their goal.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I mean, if people should be used to that already, right? Because I mean, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, they all had,
they all
multiple,
had multiple discs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 10.
10,
11,
10 was
and
one disc, and 12 was one disc.
Was one disc. Then, yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So I mean, why is this news and? Why are people blowing up, like the interwebs with this kind of stuff?
Oh, it's just fanboy rage.
It's fanboy fodder. Yeah, that's all it is.
Oh yeah, gosh, you're gonna buy the inferior 360 version because it has three discs. I mean,
linear game.
Yeah,
80 hours. Yeah. Got to change the disc twice.
It's not that big a deal.
Nah, not really big of a deal. But you can start a web, like maybe go to a forum, maybe post a thread about it or something like that, Chris. Maybe.
Yeah, when the fanboys start ranting, you can you know, reply to them and say, Who gives a shit? I don't understand what the big deal is.
Exactly what you
discs.
Said. It's fanboy ammunition.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh my god, teehee, three discs. Woohoo.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I am getting the PS3, if I do get it, which I probably will.
Version.
I'm going to get the PS3
version. I already pre-ordered it, so.
But I have my own reasons for that, you know.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the disc for me. It's the fact that I've played every Final Fantasy game minus six on a PlayStation console.
It's for me. It's also that my PS3 is currently hooked up via HDMI, and it's you know, and
I have one in my bedroom and one out here.
Yeah,
so
that's another reason.
Yeah. I don't see that. Like, I mean, there's one person in particular, which I will name, who tweeted right away. It's on 360 Final Fantasy 13, three discs. And I literally thought to myself, really? Really? I was like, does that... Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Mass Effect was on two discs.
Lost Odyssey was on four discs.
Yeah, Lost Odyssey
was
four discs.
Exactly.
Last time I checked,
so
a lot
true.
Of people
Blue
liked
Dragon's
it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Even Blue Dragon was on three discs.
Yeah, yeah, it's not going to make the game worse. And Scott Sauer put up a good little rant on gamersonlyolder.com about this whole thing. Yeah, kind of suggested it. So just check that out, little bit of a rant about this whole deal. And he goes into more detail about people complaining about compression and stuff and made a couple jokes here and there, which totally makes sense. You should check it out, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
hey,
no one
buddy,
cares.
You need some Tums over there?
I think so. I'm like hiccuping and burping at the same time. But and that was your news anyway.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff.
I think that's everything.
Cool.
All right. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some 3D gaming, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
Yo. It's time to wake up.
Yo, man, check it out. It's Kill 9. Yo, what's up? This is an expletive deleted joint. They got the news,
and reviews that you all could use. From Atlanta to Canada to the internet to you. So all y'all in the house, let me hear you make some noise. Get up out your seats and jump for joy. Just yell, who gives a shit? Like you just don't care. Cause interactive distractions is on the air. Straight up, bitches. It's like a regular distraction. Except y'all participate. You. Yeah.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Sorry. All right, today we are talking about whether or not 3D gaming will take off, because we've been hearing a lot about...
So three-dimensional!
I know. Sony's been talking a lot about 3D TVs and how the PlayStation can be upgraded, or the firmware can be upgraded to handle it and stuff like that. So, you know, we're wondering what you guys think that'll be, what that'll have to do. God, I suck.
It's like HD. It looks better than real life.
Will it affect the gaming industry? That's what I've been trying to say for the past 5 minutes. All right. So, this idea actually came to us from another person.
It's got
on the-
such a good depth of field. I don't even know what accent that is.
The wave of the future.
That was completely fucking random. Okay. So yeah, we actually got this question of the week idea from
three dimensions.
From someone in the third dimension up in Buffalo, New York.
It's gonna be Tom or Sam.
That's right.
Actually, no, Sam will not admit he lives in Buffalo.
So Travis, you have that email, right? You want to read that?
Yes, I do have Tom's email. He starts off by saying, "Hey guys, I had a great idea for a possible feature for your show. I believe most of you have seen the new James Cameron film Avatar, a film that has already made over $1 billion and is doing great at the box office." Box office.
You haven't seen it, Chris?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. It's pretty. One of the reasons it's so successful, I believe, is because of the great 3D film work that James Cameron has employed in making this movie. Of course, the graphics are also spot-on amazing, too. But I think one of the reasons people are seeing the movie multiple times, myself included, is because of the amazing 3D. James Cameron didn't use 3D as a cheap gimmick to have stuff popping out at you, but used 3D to immerse the viewer into the environment and the world he created. The 3D added a depth and dimension to the characters, making things appeal a little bit more realistic. I can't wait for the Blu-ray release, but I know that it won't be in 3D, and that's one of the reasons I've seen the movie again. I really think the use of 3D that was done in Avatar will really get people back into the theaters. Now, what about 3D in home and for gaming? The TVs that are necessary to get the 3D that is used in today's theater, not the cheap red and blue glasses, is just starting to come out into the market for consumer purchase. Sony has already said that the PS3 with a firmware update will be able to handle 3D Blu-rays if you have a 3D TV. So my question for the feature is, do you think 3D for gaming will be revolutionary for the gaming industry as 3D seems to be so far for the movie industry?
And no! End of feature.
And he says later, Tom, a.k.a. Mad Scientist 18...
from the Amplified Gamers podcast.
That's right.
Two! Yeah, so it's actually, I think we actually totally forgot about Tom's email.
We forgot to mention it last week.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. It was that we forgot we had it. It was,
that was from a while ago.
Yeah, it was from a long time ago. Yeah, and, yeah. I was actually talking to Travis last week about doing a Mass Effect feature this week. And that's how it came up. It was like, well, why don't we do this? And then after we announced it, Tom said, oh yeah, I sent that email. I'm glad you guys are using it. And I was like,
and we're like,
the email. Right.
That's just your way of saying, no, Tom, we're not totally ripping off your idea and taking your email. We thought of this ourselves.
Yeah. Tom, Rich, we are totally ripping you off. We just forgot that we were.
See, here at Indus, we're honest. We just could have been, hey, Tom, yeah, we went in and used your stuff. No, we did kind of forget it. So, we're assholes.
That's Jerks. Right. We're a bunch of douches. All right, we'll continue, Travis. Let's talk about some emails.
All right. going into the questions of the week, we start off with Lee Kelly. What up in this crew? It is Lee Kelly here again, I know, to answer yet another one of your questions of the week. So, impact of 3D gaming, you ask? Well, it will arrive later this year, I think, and it will make less of a dent in the market than the Android did. A teeny tiny minority will have it. It will most likely be awesome, but because many are just making the switch to HDTV, it won't be standard for at least 5 or so years. Have a great show, guys. Keep up the good work. Lee Kelly.
Wait a minute. Right. What does Android have to do with it? Is he saying Android and gaming?
I think he wrote it down wrong. He says it will make less of a dent in the market than Android did. Which is saying more for the Android, but he was saying, in parentheses, he actually had, sorry, Chris. So I think he meant
he's trying to say he's trying to say the Android didn't do well, and that's what I'm guessing what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not used for gaming. I don't use mine for gaming.
No, but he's just saying in the market of, I guess,
of cell phones?
Phone, like, compared to like the iPhone or something
Like
that. Well,
nothing does well compared to the iPhone, but Android
is... Well, he was just comparing,
okay,
just saying.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, don't worry. Leave your fanboy Android stuff out of
Chris,
it. He's just,
calm down, buddy. Whoa, drop
fuck you!
Chris, you're like at an 8. Take it down
dear
to
X,
a 5.
Dear
buddy.
Lee Kelly, the Android is God. You will not talk down to the Android. The Android wants you down
I'm
babies and shit in your cornflakes. Have fun at work.
No, I just didn't know if he meant like impact in the gaming market that Android made or Android to the phone market.
I think he was just doing it to the phone market like I wish he would have, yeah. I think. If I'm wrong, then, well, Lee Kelly's on crack. But thoughts?
Well, if we haven't calmed down Chris, I mean, I think we can move on to the next
email. Chris is fine. Don't worry.
The next email from another Lee says, yo, 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 Indus crew, this is the Jackal 666. Last week on the prediction show, I caused quite a stir between the Canadian and the new guy. Jeff made a bet with the listeners that him and I would be right in Mass Effect coming to the PS3. Even though this bet was taken up by Travis, Jeff still said he wanted to throw this out to the listeners. So, I have an idea. Why doesn't Jeff make that bet with whoever steps up to the plate first, and Travis makes that bet with me? I don't mind sending a game across the pond. Well, you would have to, because I'm right. I don't mind sending a game across the pond if you don't. And if a certain independent adjudicator, a.k.a. Mr. Riccio, doesn't mind helping us out by defining the bet and judging the winner, we should all be good. Let me know. And also, why, oh, why did I not put GTA episodes coming to PS3 in my predictions last week? I almost had two come good in a week. As for this week's question, if Avatar can't go on for 2 hours without giving me a headache or stopping me getting bored with the bad plot, dated dialogue, and 2D haha characters, 3D gaming isn't going to do jack as far as I'm concerned. Also, when Sony talks about paid subscriptions, I predict this will also be in the fold. So starting off with, our bet.
The bet thing is, well, first of all, it's not even like a bet. It's more like you're going to be buying me two games this year.
A gentleman's duel, if you will.
Well, let's put it this way. I offered it up to a listener and actually accepted from two. So technically, if I lose this bet, I get to pay out three times. So it's up to Travis, but if he accepts this bet from Lee, then he'd be paying out twice if he loses.
Okay, but he also picked the judge being Chris. So, Chris, let's go ahead and lay down the ground rules.
First of all, the ground rules of my bet that I said was the bet.
From what I heard last week, it was if a Mass Effect game is announced at E3.
Not at E3. It's this year.
If it's announced this year for PS3.
That's what my bet was. That's standing with the listeners and Travis. If a Mass Effect game is announced for the PS3 this year, I will buy Travis a game of his choice, barring, of course, not some crazy collector's edition that's like $300 or $100. And I would open up to one listener, and literally two people pretty much got back to me at the same time. So that was Kill9 and Mr. Nep. So I've accepted from both of them as well. So I get three free games this year. Woo!
Yeah. You sure do, buddy. You sure do.
And so ground rules. Okay, so
to make it easy on Jeff, I will accept.
Well,
what?
This is the funny thing, the bet between the I know you're going to accept, was that one would be announced. The one with Kill9, I'm so confident I brought it up a step and said it would actually be released this year.
Oh, really?
Yep, Mass Effect 2 will be on the PS3 this year. That was my bet with him specifically, because I wanted to change it up a little bit, because he understood the bet a little bit.
Jeff, I hate to say it.
Said.
You reaching, so. Dude.
I hate to say it, but I think you're going to be paying out three games.
Dude, no way. Well, no, I'm not doing the three for it's coming out this year.
Right, you're doing three for it being announced.
Yeah, it'll
you're
be
still
announced.
Gonna
it's
miss
EA,
out,
dude. They're so going to bring that out.
Yeah,
they're
but Microsoft's.
It doesn't matter.
2 million copies. 2 million copies in a week. Microsoft is going to make sure that stays on the Xbox 360.
Why would they? Because after a certain amount of time, that game stops selling consoles, so they don't care.
Yeah,
Fine.
I don't think that matters to them
anymore. Have Mass Effect 2. That's fine. We're going to have Mass Effect 3 exclusive for 6 months. Who gives a shit?
I don't know. I'm really up in the air about it. So
the PlayStation came out with a great year for exclusives.
Hey, guys, why are we talking about this now?
Because we like arguing
with each
other.
Because it's part of the email. Because it's part of the mail.
But it's not the question of the week part of the mail.
That's true. Good call. But anyway, those are the ground rules. Chris, do you agree? Like, okay, Travis, do you agree with the ground rules? Announcement, 2010, a Mass Effect game on PS3.
They're going to announce Mass Effect 3 at E3 for all systems.
That's totally different.
And you'll hear me in the crowd say, "Fuck you!"
That would be so funny. Everyone's cheering, "Yeah, motherfucker!"
That's a $60 game and like $30 shipping. Up your ass.
$30. I'll see you at Innis Fest 2, bitch. Dude, the PS3 version will be out at that time, so you can just buy me that one if you want.
Or am I taking because it's gotten to the point where now it's personal with you, Jeff. I really want you to pay out this game, but I kind of want, like, because he wants in on it, Jackal wants in on this as well, but I really, really want you to pay.
Okay. So then if you really want me to pay and you're confident that I'm going to be paying, I think you should make that side bet with Lee. And if you lose, you got to give him a game. If I lose, he's got to give you a game. Because you're confident, right? So you should have no problem picking up that bet.
Okay.
I like the way you think.
All
right.
We're
going to be broke asses. Like, it's some one way or the other. One of us is going to be like, motherfucker.
All right. So let's talk about these two emails that we just read about the question of the week. Let's steer back on topic.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Let's try
gaming.
And finish
Sorry.
This show so we can get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so this is probably going to end up being the general consensus across the board, but both Liam and Lee said Lee and Lee, the first guy's name is Liam and he goes by Lee, are saying that it's not going to catch on. 3D gaming, 3D TVs are not going to be mainstream for a long time, and it won't catch on with gaming. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't think they're ever going to be mainstream. It's another form of waggle. It's gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a gimmick. I don't think you can compare it to movies, because movies need something desperately to get people in the movie theater. And right now it is 3D.
No, fuck that. How about better movies?
Well, yeah, that's what everyone's saying, better movies. But, I mean, Avatar, well, like this person said, Travis, you're not a big Avatar fan. Not a great movie. 3D over, like, how many billion dollars of revenue that thing's brought in, or in in revenue.
Too much money.
It obviously shows that good movies aren't exactly needed to reboot the movie industry. And with games, I don't think you can get that same effect on, like, even if you have like a 60-inch TV, like, I don't think you can get that same experience, and it's something that you'd want to stick to forever. Like, I don't know. I like 3D shit, but after literally 45 minutes, I stopped realizing it was even 3D. Unless something really was, like, in my face, I'd be like, oh, cool.
Right.
Flower or something.
But I got a question. Do you think Avatar would have done as well being in 3D if it wasn't fueled by the James Cameron hype machine?
Probably not, because Beowulf
didn't do as
well.
If this was Wes Anderson directed this movie, would it have broken records? Would it have shattered records?
No, I don't think so.
No. So is it?
But if it was Spielberg, it might have.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think the director has a big deal with it because, you know, if 3D is the wave of the future, if this you know, made $500 million and shattered records because of 3D, what happened to My Bloody Valentine?
Oh, exactly.
What happened to these movies? Why didn't they make...
I was just going to say that because Cameron was smart and said the whole thing was based on 3D, mm-hmm. and that's the way that it was meant to be seen. Like, Beowulf as well was in 3D, but it wasn't advertised to be like, you have to see this in 3D. It was advertised as, hey, come check out Beowulf, also in 3D.
Yeah, like, I didn't see that in 3D either. I didn't see that in theaters at all.
Yeah, and I saw it in 3D in theaters, and I didn't find that any less impressive than Avatar was in terms of quality of the 3D-ness, not in story or movie or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Cameron was smart. He had marketing for him, you're right. Like, if that was a different movie, different developer, so video game fucking centric here, different director or whatever, it might have not have done even close to as well. Like, how many other fantasy movies do well in theaters? Like, blue people walking around with guns, like, you, seriously, like...
Giant Smurfs!
I think the hype machine had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it's pretty had a lot to do with it, too, I think.
And bringing it back to gaming, I'll give the industry props, I mean, because they're really, really hyping, you know, 3D being the next step. Or the quote-unquote next step in gaming. They're really hyping it up. I mean, we wouldn't be making a feature out of it if it wasn't hyped up, but they're making a big deal about it. But I think when we read more of these emails and listen to more of these voicemails, I think the general consensus is going to stay the same, that, okay, yeah, it's interesting for what it is, but I don't see people saying that it's the wave of the future.
Let's continue. There's some more points that I want to bring up, but I want to wait until we...
let's hit another email or something first, then.
Well, let's do a voicemail. I know we got a few voicemails to go. So. Cool.
All right, here we go.
Cool.
Hey, this podcast, this is Dylan from Atlanta. The 3D gaming question. I've actually experienced 3D gaming at installation sites like Disney Quest and some VR centers. And I don't think it's ever going to be adopted widely in a home environment. 3D television is great because you can sit back and you can see what's going on. It's a passive medium. You're not moving around. With gaming, you move around, and it's very disruptive to your balance. It's very distracting, and it's very hard to do correctly. From a technical standpoint, it's much easier to have a viewer in a single location and do the 3D for the majority of the time than it is to have them moving around. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys do it, but I do it when I play video games. I move around. So I just don't think this technology is going to be adopted. I think it's far more likely that you're going to be able to get a controller and just jack it into your head and get 3D experience that way. Thanks. Take care.
That sounds awesome.
Controllers thanks, jacking Dylan. Into your head. I like it.
Matrix.
I don't move around when I'm gaming, personally.
No, I don't.
It depends on, you know, how into the game you get.
If I'm playing the Wii and I'm standing up, obviously, yeah. But
dude, come on. When you're playing Street Fighter, you get into it and you start going crazy.
Dude, I usually don't move around. I'll move around after, like, a whittle. Yeah, whatever. If I lose, I'll be like, you motherfucker. You mash that shit. Make up some excuse. But when I'm actually playing, I'm pretty still. At least from what I think, anyway. I don't know if there's, like, videotapes of me being, like, totally opposite of what I'm saying, but...
I might but I can see have what something.
I will say that... I do, like, I don't know if you guys noticed when you're watching in 3D. Well, I guess Travis, not Chris. He hasn't seen it. It doesn't look as clear in 3D. Like, it still seems like
there's
kind of, like,
some kind of... Yeah, it still seems a little blurry.
Yeah, like kind of like a blurriness or kind of like an aliasing kind of effect. And I could see that totally having effect on gaming because... you're constantly moving perspective. like, I don't move myself, but your perspective in most games that are 3D, whether it be first person or third person, you're moving the camera pretty much 99.9% of the time. So I can see if it's not, like, if they don't get that technology nailed down, I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the faults in it. Because if you start moving your head, like, or like Dylan said, if you're moving around, that's when you see the kind of weird shit that's going on. And that's constantly moving. I don't know, maybe it's... I just can't see myself wearing glasses for, you know, like 40 hours of Mass Effect 2 on, like, a even a 50-inch TV or something like that.
Yeah.
Because is it really worth it? Like, I don't know if you guys have bought, like, Blu-rays of, say, what's a game? Okay, Monsters vs. Aliens. Do any of you guys own that?
No.
Okay,
I don't.
Well,
no.
It comes with 3D glasses, and there's a little 3D, like, short animation thing that you can watch. And yeah, sure, it kind of does look 3D, and it's not as good as what's in movies, obviously, because it is the blue and red bullshit that they give you. But just wearing those glasses, watching it, I felt like a moron.
A douche.
I'm there like this. Yeah. Yeah, I felt like the biggest douche ever, just sitting there watching it. I'm like, I could not watch an entire movie like this. And the effect wasn't that much like when you're at a theater where it's this huge screen and everything is just popping like right up to you. It wasn't like that at all. Like, the only things I really noticed were things that were meant to be coming at your face.
Right.
And then again, it's not a good comparison because that is really crappy 3D versus good 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but this, sorry, the last email, I did want to comment on this. I don't think the 3D upgrade to PS3 being able to play 3D whatever has anything to do. I don't think that's gonna have anything to do with the paid subscription at all. I think that's gonna be more of like a Blu-ray. I think all Blu-ray players are gonna get that in terms of firmware.
Yeah, I do too. And as far as like from a gaming standpoint, it'll just be a firmware update.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you,
cool
you guys think?
Well, I mean, in the voicemail, he had mentioned he had noticed some things at random installations, some VR stuff and everything. But, Chris, when was the last time you went to the Fry's that, you know, Jason and I talk to all the time? The one in Duluth, right here in Georgia?
I don't remember.
Do you go there often?
No, not really.
Okay, well, if you ever get a chance to stop in there, in between the laptop area and the computer accessories, there is a kiosk. It's a 3D gaming kiosk. And they have about an 18-inch computer monitor set up playing this demo that shows off about four or five different games. And built into the kiosk, you just put your head up to, like, you know, these 3D glasses. It kind of looks like the old Virtual Boy. You just stick your head into.
Great.
It's just set in place in the kiosk, so you can't move it. But it's normal 3D glasses, and you're looking at the demo, and they show off World of Warcraft. They show off Guitar Hero. They show off Flight Simulator. I think they show a generic fighting game like Virtua Fighter or something, and then they show a racing game as well.
How dare you call Virtua Fighter generic?
Well, I mean,
I know I'm kidding.
It's not. If it's not Street Fighter, it's generic.
Yeah,
game of the year.
Wow.
Anyway, while I was looking through this, I'm at Fry's and I'm watching this, and I'm watching all these different demos of these games, and it's about a good 2.5 minute video showing off these games. And okay, I'm looking at World of Warcraft, crap. The flight sim, crap. The fighting game, crap. You know what looked the best? Guitar Hero.
Oh, because it's all coming towards the screen.
Guitar Hero in 3D looked so much better. You know, when the people are, like, you know how sometimes on the screen you get that the camera's on the fretboard and you can see the fingers moving up and down?
Yeah.
That looks really, really cool. But the best part about it was the actual note bar that you're playing, you know, you're looking at the notes that you have to play, that is protruding out at you, and it looks really, really cool. So I can tell you right now that...
So now you can look ridiculous with a plastic guitar in your hand and
3D
glasses.
And 3D glasses. So of all those games that look good, you would think, okay, you know, a driving game might look good in 3D. Or
I heard Wipeout HD looks awesome in 3D from, like, CES anyway.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. But, you know, of all those games, Guitar Hero looked the best in this demo. Now, would I want to buy it just for that? No.
No.
I can give it its merit. It is interesting, but I would never shell the money, especially for a TV, a high-def 3D TV. I would never shell out the money for that, ever.
All TVs are going to have it. Like, I mean, doesn't it only need to be, like, 120 hertz and above to be able to support 3D?
I don't know.
So, like that's, well, I don't know, I'm not the best audiovisual guy in the world or anything, but that's what I've read, is that if your TV is 120 hertz or higher, it can support 3D. So if that's the case, then pretty much every TV eventually is going to be able to support 3D. It's whether or not people take advantage of it and if it catches on. I mean, 3D's had its day how long ago and failed? Like, it was a fad?
Yeah.
Like with Jaws, they, 3D, and...
Yeah, they have made some advancements in it because they did shy away from the red and blue crap. But, all right, here's my thing. In order for a new type of tech to really take off in the gaming industry, you need a killer app, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Waggle Control had its killer app. You know,
yeah.
it had Wii Sports, and everybody jumped on Wii Sports.
Right.
And, you know, in reality, look at the PS3 and the 6-axis. The 6-axis doesn't have a killer app, so it never
caught on. What, Lair wasn't a killer app for you, Chris?
No, not really.
It was a console killer. Really,
it was for me.
I just don't think that that a 3D, there's going to be a 3D game that's that important that it's going to actually make an impact on the industry. You know, I have a feeling that there are going to be 3D games and there will be people that buy them. And I'll be honest with you, I actually don't mind the idea of gaming in 3D. I think it would be kind of cool for especially for things like driving games, like Travis said. I mean, it would be interesting to see. I don't think it will catch on, but I'm still interested in it.
Yeah, I think the same thing. It's like 3D is something that's kind of will work well to a certain percentage of games. It's not going to be locked into like every single game is better because of 3D. Like HD catches on because every single game that comes out in HD has a plus to it. It looks better. Every single game is affected by that. With 3D, I think it's more, unless it's a game like Travis, like a racing game or like Guitar Hero, where something is constantly coming towards the screen. Like, imagine playing something like Rez or something like that in 3D. That would look freaking awesome. Or something.
Geometry Wars or something. That'd be cool.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't even say like Geometry Wars. Something that's like you're going in depth into something like a racing game where something is constantly coming towards the screen, stuff like that. Like that, I think it works for. Like Street Fighter, would anyone care to play Street Fighter in 3D?
No, it really wouldn't make a difference.
Of course not. Like any 2D game, no, of course not. Like role-playing games, like, probably not. Like maybe some third-person shooters, some first-person shooters, maybe. But I don't know. That's the thing. If it doesn't affect every single game, I can't see it really catching on. And that's... Well, off topic, that's one of the reasons why I think Natal and the Wizard Sticks aren't going to catch on.
Wizard Sticks.
Nice. Keeping it real.
But, yeah, I don't know. I like 3D. I really do like it. Like, when I go into the theater and watch the movie, for the first half, this is awesome, yeah! And then I forget it's in 3D. I'm like, I end up lifting my glasses up above my forehead and be like, oh, shit, yeah, that's right. Okay, it does look different. Actually, I don't know if that's just me, but I kind of get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, you do. You get used to it. The excitement wears off.
Yeah.
All right, Travis, continue.
Let's do it. Another one from across the pond, and this guy looks like to be one of our latest, every week emailers. JG92, he says, hey, guys, hope you're all good. Before I start, could you please wish my two teams luck, please?
Good luck.
Newcastle United in their push for first place promotion in the Coca-Cola Championship, and the New Orleans Saints. Oh, wait, never mind. So
what did he say?
Yeah, I think he's hating on my Saints.
Oh,
and
funny.
Next email. Moving on.
Newcastle
fans. Right, mess with my Saints. I won't read your emails.
So I'm taking across. This is somewhere in England. I take it if he's a Newcastle fan.
Yes, he's in the UK.
Yes.
So your question of the week: will 3D gaming make an impact on the gaming industry? Honestly, I think 3D gaming will not make a huge impact, although I want it to. We have seen Super Stardust HD previewed in 3D, and I cannot wait for it, as Super Stardust is probably my favorite download title ever. Sure, there will be a few Blu-ray games that do support the third dimension, but thinking of today's market, what would work? The Call of Duty series would be pointless. Grenades and bullets flying out the TV would just not work. The SmackDown vs. Raw series could work, but maybe only on the really elaborate entrances and dynamic camera angles while doing some top rope or finishing moves. Games that could work, however, could include Bayonetta, as it always seems to be fast-paced, and Bayonetta is badass enough to actually jump out of a screen. Some sort of RPG like Final Fantasy XIII could also work, as again, you are flying all over the screen with little fireworks exploding when you make a hit. But as much as I really want this to work, I am sure that downloadable PSN and or XBLA titles may be the only things that work because you don't ordinarily play them for hours on end. I don't know about you guys, but wearing those 3D glasses for a long period of time gives me a massive headache. I doubt anyone would say, ow, I have a goddamn banging headache, but that Saw video game is so good in 3D. So, yeah.
That would be pretty awesome in 3D.
It would be cool. So, yeah, I want it to work, but it probably won't. Keeps up the awesome show, you guys. Rock yours, Jake Gray, also known as JG92. And a postscript saying, sent from my iPod while laughing at Travis trying desperately to stick his Jurassic Park turd to the wall.
What was that prediction again?
E3 was going to, at E3, Microsoft was going to announce their new console.
Oh, yeah.
Going to have Live and Windows 7 integration in it.
Hey, did you realize? Well, you probably
Triceratops
did.
Triceratops turd.
But Retro apparently was working on a Mario football game on the GameCube.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I would love to have that. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, that's something that wasn't been brought up yet. A lot of people can't handle 3D. Not in like a bad way, but a lot of people get headaches and get motion sickness and get whatever. And that's a huge deal.
Well, when you saw Avatar, see, I only saw it in 2D. I didn't watch it in 3D. But when you watched Avatar, were you getting a headache, Jeff, from like the glasses and everything?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
I psych myself out. Like, I heard so many people say that. It's like the Blair Witch thing. Like, when everyone saw Blair Witch, oh, you get so motion sickness and everything. The first like 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, man, I might actually. And then after a while, I forget about it. I'm like, no, this is fine. And that was the same with Avatar. I watched it, and I was like, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, man, I'm feeling all right, okay, cool. And then you forget about it, I'm like, nah, I'm fine. Afterwards, I'm like, eh, that was fine. No big deal.
I asked you this. Do you get, like reading or playing a video game in a car, do you get motion sickness from doing that?
That depends, yes. Yeah, I never used to. If I'm playing a racing game in a car, and I'm sitting in the front seat, I tend to get that motion sickness.
I'm just saying,
which is really weird.
Well, that's more situational. So, like reading a magazine in a car, does that give you motion sickness? Because that seems more of the more of the norm.
Usually no.
Because I'm trying to bridge, just try to find a bridge there. Because 3D does not give me a headache. I could watch. I'm assuming that I can watch like Avatar for 3 hours and not get a headache in 3D. Do not get motion sickness at all, either reading or playing a video game in a car.
Well,
so I
again,
was just curious.
There's only one time I actually remember getting kind of motion sickness is that I was playing Mario Kart in kind of like a crammed car, and I just remember being in the front seat playing it, and I got to the point where I'm like, I can't really concentrate. And then I was afraid to play my PSP or DS. Actually, I was going to going to Atlanta. I'm like, fuck, I don't even know if I want to play this, whatever. Or I have to way back, actually, because I bought Ninja Gaiden for the DS, the Dragon's Lair there. And I was like, oh, am I going to get motion sickness again? And I played that for about 2 hours straight, just sitting there playing it in the front seat, and I had no problem at all. So, I don't know. I guess you're trying to say, like, if it's like people who are like that might just get motion sickness in general. It doesn't matter what it is.
I think that's what I'm gathering.
Some people are privy to motion sickness just naturally. My wife cannot
read or play anything
in a car at all. Like two minutes, boom, she's got to stop. She's got to stop. So I'm curious if we sat through Avatar in 3D. That was the reason.
She had
said, I want to see it in 3D. I'm like, let's see it in 2D. It's cheaper. Where like I'm actually saying you're not going to be able to take it. You're not going to be able to take it. You're going to get a headache. So, I mean, you know,
I think it's related because I think that one time was kind of like an anomaly and I was just kind of like, I don't know what could have been any other different factors or whatever, but usually no. And I could watch 3D for a while.
Right.
Except for the glasses getting uncomfortable. That's about it.
Yeah.
Another thing is that like there are people out there that even when they wear the glasses, they can't see the 3D.
Like, they could be colorblind or like.
This is Crystal's mother can't see you know, she can't watch 3D movies because all she sees is the blur. You know, she actually can't see it. I don't know what the deal is, but she's not colorblind or anything. So, you know, it's I don't know. She's the only person I've ever met that's like that, though. So, right. You know, I don't know. Who knows?
Cool. We have another email?
We do. And they start off with, will 3D TV affect gaming?
Well, we asked you first.
I think he's going to answer his own question.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry.
He says simply, I doubt it. The 3D tech seems to be a hit or miss in the casual market, and I feel that it will also be hit or miss with the hardcore audience. Why would a developer invest X amount of dollars in adding technology which will only be used by half of a targeted audience? On one side, you have 3D addicts who must see movies or play every game in 3D, even if they are $3 more to see them. Yet, on the other side, there are people, like my parents, who can't go see 3D because it gives them headaches. Just to give light to my perspective, I paid $14 to see Avatar in 3D to get the experience, but if I had to go see the movie again, I would definitely not pay for the 3D tax. I think it would be the same with gaming. The 3D tech is already not for everyone, so I can't see it having a deep impact in the gaming community, both casual and hardcore. Cheerio, Snake-O-Zilla.
Cheerio.
Thanks, Snake-O.
Yeah,
it's when I...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, so there's another person that's getting headaches, and that's a big factor right there. I was going to say, though,
he said his parents, though, so when was the last 3D movie they saw?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It could go back to where it was like the whole
red and blue
thing, which is when I was watching that short film on aliens, whatever. Like after a while, I'm like, this is just so irritating. It didn't necessarily give me a headache, but it made me feel uncomfortable. I was like, this is just, I can't wear these anymore. This is just, I don't know what it was. So that could be maybe tell them to try out the new one. Maybe I don't know. Like what was the first? Do you guys remember the first thing you ever saw in 3D?
Yeah, I do.
I think mine was Jaws 3D.
Oh, wow. Travis?
Mine was at Epcot in Florida.
Yeah, you're the same thing I am.
Captain Neo?
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Captain EO.
Yeah, that was mine too.
That was the first thing.
The Michael Jackson thing at friggin' Epcot Center.
That was it.
And I loved it.
It was awesome.
Of course
I
you
still
did.
Love it.
Why?
Because I don't know.
Because Michael Jackson.
Everybody loved Michael
awesome.
Jackson at that time. That was before he was a pedophile.
And there's like a Terminator one.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Don't ever talk bad about Michael Jackson. He's the greatest. He's the king of pop. Shut your mouth. Fuck you.
Travis, I love you, man. No, yeah, now they have that Terminator one, and
that was awesome. I saw
that
too.
I'll tell you what, there's one, like, if you go to have you guys gone to the Magic Kingdom lately, like in the past 10 years or so?
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah, like 8 to
no.
10 years.
No.
They have one that they a 3D movie that they put in there. God, why can't I remember the name of it? Shit. But it's like a symphony orchestra thing, and it has to, and like Mickey and Donald are doing like all this. Donald steals a magic wand, and I can't remember the name of it, but like really, really good 3D involved in it, and it works out really well. And they do the whole 4D thing where they're like spraying out scents and stuff like that.
Yeah, and shit's wagging at your feet, and it scares the piss out of you.
And like wind, like they have like a like
imagine
wind
an aliens game in 3D with that shit happening. I'd probably shit my pants.
Chris, you brought something up, and I have to ask both of you guys when you guys were down for Indus Fest, Jeff, did you all go to the World of Coke?
PhilharMagic.
No,
sorry.
We didn't actually.
Y'all didn't. Okay.
No, I vetoed the World of Coke thing. Okay, like how fun could the World of Coke be?
It's actually not bad. It's really fun. There is a...
I guess we'll have to come back.
There's a 4D ride at the World of Coke. You pay like $5 extra and you get to go see the thing. There's this little scene. Like, of course, they're spraying mist in your air like when you're in the water. But there's this little area where like you're on a canoe. like at the Congo. And the guy who's like your guide, he's like, watch out because there's these huge mosquitoes that'll nip at you. And of course, like, it's surround sounds. You hear zzz, zzz everywhere. And all of a sudden, you don't know it until this point happens. There's like a little like not a needle, but like a rod, like a small little thin rod in the back of your seat. And it's supposed to like be the effect of like a mosquito like stinging you in the back.
That sucks.
But dude, it hurts so bad because it gets you right on the bone. It's like, oh, what the fuck is that? So I guess
I'm gonna sue.
So I guess we'll bring this up again when you know, in 10 years when they're like 4D gaming. You know, Mike Tyson's punch out.
Smell-o-vision.
He punches you in the fucking face.
Smell the sweat.
Smell the sweat.
That's horrible. That is horrible.
Yeah, anyway, all tangent. Right.
What else we got?
How about a voicemail?
All right, I'll give you one of those.
All right, give it to me.
Hey, what's going on? This is Eddie Kusanagi here with a voicemail
what's
response
up, baby?
To your question of the week for this week. Honestly, I really don't think 3D televisions will make an impact on the industry at all. Maybe, just maybe, it'll make an impact on the next generation, like PlayStation 4, Xbox 720, or Wii HD, or whatever. I think then it may, like, launch titles might come out with something cool or do something cool with it. But I think only certain genres can do something with this technology. Like maybe racing games have the smoke come out as you drive. Or maybe certain sports games. Like, I can't imagine playing Street Fighter with this shit on it. I don't see how they can implement this technology in
familiar.
It. Or certain games. It may ruin some games by, you know, implementing this 3D bullshit. I'm not against it at all, but I really disapprove that, you know, like people who are buying these $2,000 or $1,500 TV sets just to get a 1080p experience, now they're coming out with this 3D bullshit. And price is a factor too, in my honest opinion. Like, think about if it was like $3,000 to $4,000, depending on the TV size and what brands it's gonna be and blah blah blah. And I mean, it's a I believe it when I see it kind of thing. Like, if it convinces me, I may get one, you know, just for shits and giggles, just to see how it is. I'm just trying to guess a price range. And I'm assuming $2,000 at the least, maybe. You know, when new shit comes out, like plasma TVs, when they first came out, they were like $5,000, and now they're fucking $800. But I think that's it, man. I mean, it will not make an impact at all. I mean, a very minor impact, maybe. We'll see what games, we'll see which of the systems, it's either between Xbox or PlayStation 3. We'll see which company takes advantage of this technology. I think Sony might jump in the bandwagon since because, you know, Sony televisions, they own this and that. But overall, man, my answer is no, it won't. It'll a very minor one, maybe. Maybe something cool, and I guarantee you when they first come out, there'll be like display models at Best Buy. You could just check that out, and it won't be a damn thing. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. Take care.
No Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4 hype?
I'm so excited! All right, so...
Thanks, Eddie. Hype!
Yeah, so that kind of brings us back around to what we were saying earlier, where, you know, for some genres, it just doesn't make any sense. You know,
yeah, but they'll put it in there anyway.
Well, you know,
I think the sounds of it, it sounds like it's pretty easy to do. Like, it's not like a, basically like a flick of a switch, basically. That's what it sounds like when you read up on stuff. Not in terms of movies, but in terms of games. Because, I mean, they went back and added this in for Wipeout HD, for Gran Turismo, Prologue, for Super Stardust, for a bunch of other games. I don't see why developers wouldn't put it in there as an option. Just, you know, if you want to play in 3D, here you go.
Yeah,
it's
well, he made
Rad
it another...
Racer all over again.
It's what?
Rad Racer.
Oh, Racer, man.
Or Space Harrier with 3D goggles that never worked. The Sega ones. They had to plug in. You guys
hey,
have those
Square made one of those, too. The, what was it called? 3D World Runner?
Really?
It was a yeah, it was for NES. It was a Space Harrier clone. It's not nearly as good. But, yeah, and the other obstacle is price of entry. I mean... You know, these TVs are going to, every time new tech comes out, it's going to be expensive. And, you know, I don't know how much they're going to be. And for, I mean, for some reason, well, I don't feel like they should be much more than a normal HDTV, but.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think, cause when this was first announced, I thought it had to be a 3D chip, but now it seems like it has nothing to do with the chip. It has to do with the megahertz on your TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 120 hertz TVs are not that expensive anymore. Like when they first launched, yeah, they were like, you're paying almost $1,000 for a 120 hertz versus, I guess, whatever. What was it, 60 before that, I guess?
Yeah.
On a regular HDTV. But now, like, I went to Best Buy the other day, or when I was in Buffalo, I was like, shit, really? I could get, like, a same-size TV I have now, 120 hertz, for almost cheaper than what I paid for my TV a year ago.
Right.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then price won't really be that much of a...
But and you do have a point there, but I have a feeling that price will have something to do with it because, okay, hey, and this is 3D compatible, boom, that's 3D tax. They're going to put on that thing and jack up the price just because you can play it. So
also
they'll make it a little more expensive.
Keep in mind, think about when the first HDTV came out. All right, think about how long it took to get to the prices down to where they are right now. You know, I mean,
quite a few years.
It's been 6-8 years?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm trying to think of when I remember my dad was the one that he bought an HDTV like a long time. Doesn't he have HDMI? Doesn't have any of that stuff. And that was a while ago.
I bought my first HDTV back in like 2002.
Yeah, you bought yours a long time ago.
Yeah, I bought mine really early. And you know, that TV cost quite a bit. And then when I replaced it, I paid about half the price for a better TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's now it's even cheaper, right? So,
yeah,
but it took six, eight years to get there.
Yep.
Yeah, but at the same time, my big TV we have in our main room was the same price I paid for my 27-inch we have in the bedroom, and that was only 2 years later, and it was the same price.
Hmm.
So that's like 27 upgraded to 48.
Mm-hmm.
That was just 2 years, and it's like craziness. So, I mean, when anything new comes out, it takes a while, but once they get that technology down pat, it seems to drop really quickly. But like Travis said, though, if 3D does kind of get like some kind of hype at all, that's going to be the thing. It's like, oh, it's 3D compatible. We can still add on like another $500 to this, no problem.
Yeah. Cool.
Which,
all right.
Yeah.
Travis, do we have any more emails?
We do have one more, so let's go ahead and anyway, it's late. I'm tired. Shut up. Greetings, Indus crew.
Greetings.
I'm fairly new to listening to your podcast and the VG Evo community as a whole, but I dig your show.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
It's nice to listen to a gaming podcast whose host's gaming tastes range beyond. Modern Warfare, Madden, and Left 4 Dead. Haven't had the time to game with any VG Evo folks yet, but if your community members are as fun as your podcast, I'm sure it'll be great. Anyway,
they're much better than we are.
They are. They're not douches like us.
That's right. And they don't go, fuck you, all the time.
Fuck you. I'm not much of an AV tech geek, but what I've seen of the 3D stuff doesn't wow me. I wear prescription glasses, and trying to fit those 3D Dexters over what I need in order to even see is a pain in the butt. Well, actually, hit. My eyes have to compensate between the prescription and whatever funky optics those 3D glasses are doing. This makes the experience as a whole unpleasant for me. I could barely make it through Avatar in this 3D crap. There's no way in hell I would want to try to play a video game under those conditions. Until technology advances to such a level that I don't need to use those 3D glasses in order to see those effects at home at a reasonable price, of course, I will pass. Shortly, I'll be in the market for a larger HDTV, and frankly, I'm more excited for the new LED LCD TVs for my gaming media needs than the ViewMaster-ish 3D gimmicks being showcased now. I think we have many product generations to go before an effect will be felt in the gaming industry. I know I have no plans to even try to adopt this tech as it stands now. Keep up the great work. Show enough. 71. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks,
thank
show
you.
Enough.
Cool stuff. And I'd like to say thank you for upping your font and using great grammar. That was quite the easy email to read. So keep it up. More emails from you, sir.
Everyone take note.
That's mean.
It's a joke.
I know.
All right. So That's another thing, I guess.
The eyeglasses? That's a really good point.
That's a very good point, because just fitting over that would be a problem. And then depending on what type of issue you have with your eyes, I mean, it might make it impossible to even see it.
Yeah.
So, but the other one I was going to say is there's still, you know, going back to the tech, there's still a lot of people that haven't made that switch over to HD yet. What makes you think they're going to switch over to the 3D at the same time? So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool deal. And that's it for the emails for question of the week. If we have any more voicemails, Chris.
I do have one more voicemail.
All right.
You guys ready for that?
Let's do it.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here to answer your
wrong button.
I personally think that after the flop that was virtual reality, the gaming industry will have to see the new 3D tech successful in a non-interactive form of media like television before they dive into it head first. I'm not saying that no company will jump on this, hoping to spearhead the ushering in of a new era of gaming. I just don't think the industry as a whole will embrace it until it's tested and proven to be successful. That being said, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Nintendo ends up being the company that will do the testing. Sorry, Big N, but in the game industry, you're the king of the gimmick. Anyway, here's hoping that your episode isn't too funny for my sensitive stomach. I'll see you guys on the other side.
All right.
Thanks, Ryan.
I do want to say this, though. Virtual reality did fail pretty badly. But
yeah, I think they were, they went, reason, though.
Yeah, it failed because they went way too fast on that.
To buy something like that, it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars, like $1,000. Yeah. This, I really don't think 3D, the ability to show 3D movies, games, or whatever is going to be that expensive when it might go popular. I really don't think it's going to be. But virtual reality, that shit. Remember when Sega announced their virtual reality thing for the Genesis? I remember they announced it at 1E3 and they showed pictures and they had all these games.
I don't remember that.
None of them were actually like working. They just had like, videos or whatever. And that thing, they're like, yeah, it'll retail for, it was like a ridiculous amount of money. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think with the 3D stuff, if you have the right TV, it just comes down to whether or not the developers programmed 3D in there and whether or not it takes off. So I think this has more of a chance of catching on than virtual reality ever did, because I think the barrier to entry is, well, it's lower overall, I think.
Yeah, but why did the HDTV take off? I mean, why do you think it is? Do you think it's because people... let's keep it with gaming. Why do you think, as gamers, HDTVs have taken off?
Because a lot of gamers are visual whores.
Or how about the fact that now we jumped into the HD system market, and I mean, yeah, you can play these games on a standard TV. You have the option. You can do that, but come on.
But once you see it,
you need HD. Yeah, to really get the effect.
I had no problem on a standard dev until I saw a game running in HD.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Yeah.
You see what's on the other side, and I guess I see your point, Travis. Because what happens if you see that in 3D, and then you feel the same way about it.
Yeah, but more or less to my point, what I'm trying to get at, okay, the Xbox and the PlayStation made it to where these developers have to make HD-compatible games. There's nothing else. They have no choice. These are the games you're going to make. They're HD no matter what.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going
to
happen with 3D.
That's not going to happen with 3D.
No,
they're not
going to
make every single game that comes out. Okay, but this is 3D. You have no choice. You can play it in standard def. You have the ability to play it in standard high def, but you can play it in 3D every game. So everybody get your 3D TVs. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a gimmick.
But how hard is programming 3D? If you program to HD, that takes a lot of resource and a lot of effort, because you got to draw everything and every single asset so much larger, and you have to put so much more detail in. How hard is it, though? Because we don't know how hard it is to do 3D. And like I said, they've been pumping out games showing at CES in 3D like that. So if it's that easy, I don't see why developers wouldn't just be like, all right, here it is. You can have it in 3D or not. It's your option.
I mean, I might be totally wrong about this, but from what it seems like, the technology that creates 3D, it's just taking the same image that would be there in the first place and duplicating it and like putting it offset a little bit so that, you know, there's a line of sight. So it has that depth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that the only thing is that you have to worry about there is that you're rendering the same image twice.
Yeah. So in HD, that would be kind of tough.
Yeah.
Because if you're running it twice, then that's like, yeah.
Which brings us back to what Ryan said, that Nintendo would be the first one to do it.
Possibly. Well, Avatar was the first one to do it, technically. But they didn't... I mean, the game Avatar's in 3D.
No.
But how many people have actually played it in 3D? That'd be... like, if any of you guys out there have played Avatar in 3D, please let us know how that went, because...
Yeah, right back. But I have a nagging suspicion we're not going to get an email back.
Yeah,
no,
sure
I don't think so either. I really don't.
So what do we think, then?
I mean, we've been saying it all along. I mean, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. We will see it, but it's just going to be on a
small scale.
Very, very small scale.
Yeah.
Extremely small scale. They may try to push it. You know, I wouldn't be... I guess my piece on it is I wouldn't be so... And this is kind of a strong word, but I wouldn't be so offended by all of this 3D talk if they weren't making it such a big deal, like this is the future of gaming. I think at one of the CES things, they said this is the future of gaming. Why say stuff like that? That is
because they're standing 2 feet away from a 32-inch TV.
Right.
Yeah, it's offensive. It goes back to...
It's a sales pitch.
It goes back to the Peter Molyneux thing. Like, this is love. You're going to experience love for the first time in your life. You know, you don't know love until you played this game. And I'm like, yeah, I love Fable 2, but it's a dog. I'm tired of these false promises. Don't say this is the difference. Gaming's changing with the release of Fable. Yeah, no, it's not. It's another game. Okay, this is another gimmick, and it's not going to change the future.
Yeah, well, Peter Molyneux can like describe taking a dump in a game being the best thing you've ever experienced. So that's it's a little bit, I guess, different. But I know what you're saying. It's like he's telling you this is the way it's going to be, and then it's going to happen. And you're going to be like,
maybe it's offensive. Don't test my intelligence. I know this is not the wave of the future. You're selling this to the people who are ignorant. It really is. They're selling it to the ignorant. It's like selling Wii Fit to people who want to go.
The movies did it, and it worked. If people overall think that Avatar is a bad movie, then it worked.
That's the only place 3D's ever going to truly, truly work is in the movie theater. I think that's its only place. Its only rightful place is in the movie theater.
But they did the same thing. They told everyone this is how the future of movies is going to be. This is the next step, and this is what's going to get you back in the theater. And it broke records.
Because James Cameron said he took 10 years to film this movie in 3D.
So Bungie comes out and says Halo 4 is going to be 3D. You don't think people are going to jump all over that?
Yeah,
I think that has so much hype behind it, I think it would sell. I agree with you.
Yes,
I think it would sell.
It would be ridiculous, and it would be
dumb.
I agree with you, Travis. I totally agree with you, but it's hard to say at this point because it's not really been tested yet. We've had one successful movie that was in 3D, and then everybody and their grandmother all of a sudden just wants to be like, it's the next step for gaming. And like,
It's not. It's the same thing with Natal. Look at this. Okay, Natal, we're treating it as another console launch. This is the next step in Microsoft and the Xbox brand.
How many times
this is the
Microsoft
next
relaunched the 360?
What
is it like? Well, this can be like 4?
No, they've never really relaunched it. They're actually looking at this as like a relaunch, like they're being like a rebranding of the actual console. Because I think they realize, you know what, accessories don't work. Why did the Wii U sell? Because they based an entire console on an accessory. That's what they branded it. So if they don't do that, it's gonna fail. Which it is gonna like either way. I think it's gonna fail. Wizard sticks are gonna fail.
Of course it is. And the Wizard sticks are definitely gonna fail. But my point with Natal is, and it's the same deal with 3D, and you made it kind of harkens back to what you're saying about if Bungie and Halo, you know, said, okay, we're gonna do this game in fully 3D, everybody will get your 3D TVs. But, you know, Natal, wave of the future for the Xbox. This is where you need to be for the Xbox. You gotta get your Natal. And then Bungie comes out and says, Halo Reach is not gonna have anything to do with Natal in it. So it's like, okay, If this is the future, your number one brand on your system is not going to use Natal.
Yeah.
Why should I give a shit about your gimmick? Oh,
exactly. Because the hardcore people don't give a shit about that crap.
I know.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I mean, I think that I'm actually curious to see 3D gaming, but I just don't feel like it's going to make an impact at all. You know, I think that it is just another gimmick. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the step from regular TV to HDTV, it was a major step up in quality where, you know, the user didn't have to do anything different. You know, it's like I can still just sit down and watch my TV and look how much better it looks now. With 3D gaming, now you're talking about sit in front of a TV wearing glasses, and that's and I just don't see a lot of people doing that.
A lot of people in theaters, like I said, and I think I can't remember if it was Travis or Chris, agreed that after a while you stop forgetting it's 3D, and that's when you're on a humongous screen TV. Imagine watching your TV in your living room with glasses, your 3D for about 5 minutes, be like, yeah, this is awesome, it looks really 3D. And after that, it's like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. and then what's your motivation to pick up those glasses and put them on again?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of my point. It's like it's just an extra little hassle. You know, it's a discomfort. You know, you got these things on your eyes that make your eyesight weird, and they're never really comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, it's just,
if there's one plus, if you want a pair of 3D glasses, just go to the theater, go see Avatar.
And gank some.
Yeah, you're paying more money, but just keep your glasses.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
All right, cool. Well, we all agree then. Should we...
pretty much ever. Did anyone say it was going to be the way?
Yeah, nobody. No. I don't think anybody did.
That could be like the first time ever. Who gives a shit?
As I said, I really am curious about it. I really do want to see what they do.
I think it's cool. I really do.
But. I do too. But I just don't think it's going to happen. So,
yeah.
Cool deal. Let's move on to new releases then. Get this shit over with so we can get out of here.
Releases that are new.
I think I have something from Repeat. Here we go. Let's check it out.
There is only one title next week that's really worth mentioning, and that is, of course, Shirin the Wanderer for the Wii. Oh yeah, it's going to be bloody fantastic. Well, actually, there is one other title that's probably worth a bit of a mention. That's Darwinia Plus for XBLA. It's made by Introversion Software, a little indie dev out of the UK. It's basically their director's cut of a PC game they made about 4 years ago, I think, now. That game was fantastic, so I expect this to be just as good. So yeah. Pick up that, and also pick up Shirin the Wanderer, because it's going to be freaking awesome.
He's probably serious.
Oh, yeah, he's very serious. He's big on Shirin the Wanderer, and so is Mark from PS Nation. So, yeah, I know they're both big on that game. However, they did leave off.
They missed two big releases.
Yeah, they missed two pretty big releases for next week. Also coming out next week, for PS3, we have Dante's Inferno. Star Ocean, The Last Hope International, and BioShock 2.
Yeah. Yeah. How can the Repeat? You left BioShock, dude. BioShock. BioShock, man.
Well, I think Pete understands he has a reputation now. His reputation is.
Shirin the Wanderer. That's his reputation.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got to call it the shit that Chris will probably miss. So.
No, I actually have that on my list.
No, he would have had it.
I didn't have the Xbox Live one, though, I don't think. No, I didn't. So, he got me.
Well, fail. Repeat for the win.
Well, I mean, they don't exactly. I don't exactly find that shit out. Anyway, PSP is also getting Dante's Inferno. 360 is getting.
Wait, it's coming out for PSP as well?
Yes, it is coming out for PSP as well.
I've never even heard that.
Yeah,
neither did I.
They haven't really advertised it much, but yeah, it's there. It's coming out for it.
If you want to hear more about Dante's Inferno, go to www.interactivedistractions.com.
It's a website.
It is. We did a roundtable with them, an interview with Jonathan Knight from Visceral Games. Actually, Travis and Chris listened in on that and asked some questions.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was a learning experience.
I bet.
More on the technical side, though.
We learned that people like to call into calls on Skype and then play the audio through their speakers so that they get bad echo and nobody else can fucking hear.
Yeah, or call in with about 15 minutes left. Or, or people typing during the interview. Chris?
I think it was both of us.
No, I don't know who it was, but I was like, oh my God, I can't hear. Just stop.
If it was past the first, 2 minutes, then it wasn't me, because I was just formatting
questions.
It happened
a lot at the beginning, and then a lot at the end.
Yeah, I didn't.
And so I don't know who it was, but yeah. And I don't wish transcripts on either of
you. Yeah, I know, right?
So. Jesus. I'm like, oh, it shouldn't be that bad. You listen to it on your PM, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this guy, like, that's like, these are so long answers, long questions, and I don't remember what he said. Ah! But it was fun.
All right, so 360 is also getting Bioshock 2 and Dante's Inferno. Also, World of Outlaws Sprint Cars. He already mentioned Sharon the Wanderer. Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll.
Ooh.
And Data East Arcade Classics.
Okay, that actually might be kind of fun. Get some bad dudes.
Oh, man, if that's on there. Okay, anyway.
It has to be. Yeah. That was Data East.
That was Data East, yeah.
Would have to be.
DS is getting Seen at Twilight. Exciting.
The DS is getting that?
Yes, the DS is getting that.
That's Megatron's pick of the week.
PC is getting Bioshock 2, Sins of the Solar Empire, Diplomacy, and Everyday Genius, Square Logic. And that is your new release list. Pick of the week. This is a tough one.
This is tough.
Bioshock 2.
I'm going with Dante's Inferno.
I'm going to go with Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll.
Holy shit.
No, I'm not. I'm going with Dante's Inferno.
Okay. I was like, wait a second. You got to be kidding. But, the only reason I'm not going with Bioshock is, number one, it's not irrational. And number two, I wasn't huge into Bioshock, but I am interested in two. Yeah. But
you do know that Bioshock 2 is being made by the group that was responsible for the best part of Bioshock 1, right?
What's the best part?
The Sander Cohen level.
Really?
Yeah, the guy who...
So they actually split up the levels in the first one, like the different developers?
Two teams. No, three. I think there were three teams. There were multiple teams, but the team that was directly responsible for the Sander Cohen stuff...
Yeah, which was the Sander Cohen stuff again? Was that the stuff when he had to go find his paintings?
Or no, exactly, it was like, yeah.
Yeah,
it was that guy.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah.
See, it does definitely have me intrigued, for sure. I definitely want to... I'm thinking of picking up, but... Dante's Inferno is a God of War clone, and I had fun with it, and I got to get that. I have to. It's
God of War. I'm still gonna play that too. Yeah,
I'm probably gonna.
Yeah,
end up playing,
I'm gonna end up pre-ordering it soon. So,
right.
All right. Hey Travis, let's do some emails.
All right, let's do them. Not too many, and they're both not too long.
Perfect.
Starts off with B Wrong. He says, "Hey." I just wanted to add a prediction that you should be ashamed of. IndusFest 2 will be awesome. On to my random questions. Number one, games that you would love to have an HD remake.
Okay. I think I know that saying. Jeff's mentioned his before, I think.
Yes, Strider.
Strider, yeah. I think that's mine too, actually. I'm trying to think of another one that I might like.
Symphony of the Night remake, HD.
I would love to have it in an HD, as long as they don't go...
Like fake HD?
Yeah, as long as they don't go the rearmed route. You know, I would...
Oh, so
I
you still, don't want them to remake the game, you just want to redraw it?
I would like it to be resprited, yes, and be in HD. Cool. That would be freaking gorgeous.
So something like they did with HD remakes, only with Symphony of the Night.
Exactly.
That would be pretty cool. Travis?
Easy. Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would go with that.
Yeah. Number two, he asks, you guys played Magic. What were your color and decks?
Oh, wow. I was all over the place.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, I actually have a few decks that are five colors.
Oh my God, dude! You're all over the place.
Yeah, I really am all over the place. But
that is crazy.
They all work pretty well together.
Hey, not enough mana. How you doing?
that's why you load up with green and get mana search cards like mad.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I was my two main decks were black and green and blue and red. And then, which is weird because online on the Xbox Live game, I play mostly white.
Yeah, blue and red is an odd combination unless you got into what was the block they had a little while back, where the block was actually made to pair up colors.
I don't even know what block is.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I never got like hard, like super, super into it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah.
My,
I know because blue is mostly like flying, dude. Like I know red's mostly like spells and direct damage and stuff like that.
But, yeah, yeah. Well, red is a lot of direct damage, and blue is a lot of control. So
yeah, like you can take control of like other characters' enemies.
Yeah, and, yeah. A lot of countering spells and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I used a lot of white and green because green is a lot about growth, yeah. and white is all about protection.
Health.
So
yeah, protection and health is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Did you play Magic, Travis?
You know, I wish I did, but I was too busy.
You can lie.
Ass.
You can.
I was
you
too
can
busy
be honest.
Kick. I was
and
too busy
nerds.
Kicking ass and having sex with girls. So, I really can't really help you out here.
It's funny that you say that because
you can do both.
Yeah, I didn't actually play Magic until
Magic.
I was like 29.
Really?
Yeah. You actually what? Didn't play Magic till you were 29?
Yeah, I didn't actually start playing Magic till I was about 29.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were talking about having sex with girls.
No, that was much younger.
Yeah, you can
Moving
do both,
on.
Travis. You just gotta be very, like, you know, ninja about it. Ah, wait, Magic's for loot. Are you kidding me? No. Don't mind that poster. That's nothing. That's my little brother's.
So, number three, who would win in a fist fight? Chris, Travis, Jeff, or Jason?
A fist fight? Well, hopefully we'd never have to fist fight each other.
Quadruple KO.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea.
Well, all you'd have to do is throw Chris because he doesn't know how to counter it. So Chris,
hey, I tell you what, if you can throw me, more power to you, buddy. Bring it.
I don't even know. Choking.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good use of that mute button that time. That was
yes,
good.
Yeah. It was like halfway. I was gonna be like, yeah. And
yeah,
I'm
so
back.
So I guess we all agree it would be a stalemate because we don't want to say, I would totally kick their asses.
Next.
Moving on to the next email. Coming from our buddy Necro. He says, so, my voicemail didn't get played last week, and well, that's all and fine. I understand there were technical issues, but I kind of want to clear up exactly what I meant. Chris did get a big part of my prediction about Gears, but he left out some details. The reason why I think Gears 3 is going to borrow from Borderlands is because Cliffy B is a pretty big fan of Borderlands, and well, Cliffy isn't exactly shy about borrowing from games he enjoys. He borrowed many things from Resident Evil 4 since he was such a big fan of that. And come on, Fallout 3 did great, and so did Mass Effect 2, and well, those are both RPGs with shooting. I think they could put it in and win over the masses.
No. Went over the masses. They already have the masses.
Yeah, they,
I don't.
And
think
they're
they
not gonna.
That.
They're not gonna shit on those masses by putting in leveling up and grinding into a fast action third person shooter.
Yeah, I don't.
Sorry, Necro. It's a good idea, but I do not. I don't think it's gonna happen.
It's a good idea in theory, but
yeah, yeah, I agree that you know doing like some massive loot drops and even changing the way your characters look throughout the game would be freaking awesome for Gears 3. But yeah, they're not going to change a thing. They're just going to make it more bigger, more badass, and
yeah,
just
exactly.
more bloody. And
most
that's all
biggest.
That's all the people want.
Most badassest.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to be the,
yeah,
that's be the tagline for 3.
That's all they're going to do. That's all they're going to do. And it's sad because that's all they have to do.
I know.
And we'll buy the game. So.
Well, not necessarily. I still haven't bought
two.
But
we will buy the game, Travis.
Yeah.
Chris
yeah.
won't buy the game.
I did
and
like
he'll
yours.
Buy it.
Just, you know, just haven't gotten around to it.
Yours is awesome, man.
Yeah, it's really
good
fun
stuff. Why? You know, if it's not, if it ain't broke, you know, don't fix it. And
oh,
so not,
anyway, continue.
Are you gonna say Gears is broken?
No, I'm not. I actually had an argument with someone about that because he said that it. Never mind. It's not worth going into. Trust me.
All right.
Take my word on it.
All right. I believe you, and I got your back. I don't care. That person's wrong.
I love you, Jeff. My favorite Canadian ever.
Yes!
And, Chris, I'm going back to you, buddy, because that's all I have for emails.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, let's go over our contest for this month one more time. We did post it on VG Evo. We have a contest going on where you need to give us your version of the ESRB rating for God of War 3. The prize is a $20 gift card to Amazon.com. You enter just by sending us the information via email. We have had a few entries so far. We're going to save them up and read all of them on the last show of the month, which I believe will take place. We'll record on the 25th, so that is your deadline. Some of the stuff we've gotten so far is pretty good. So you guys get your entries in. It should be pretty fun. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what you guys have to do.
Yeah, I'm not looking at a damn one till that day. Be fresh.
And just to reiterate, I believe Be Wrong had a question in the VG Evo forums, like, what are we exactly looking for? We're not looking for what's on the front of the box, like M for Mature, bloody blood and gore, alcohol, and we're not looking for that. If you want a good reference, go to esrb.com, and they're going to allow you to search something in a box. It's type in any game, type in Mass Effect 2, and just hit enter, and it'll give you a full description that's basically geared toward parents to make a decision to their kids whether or not they feel comfortable buying this game or not for the young ones, and it gives a detail, sometimes even multiple paragraphs, on why this game is rated M for mature.
Right.
Use those as a reference, and you can come up with yourself a way to pretty much make us laugh and try to win this gift card.
There you go.
Yep.
And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for funny. So
free monies for free funnies.
And I don't know about you guys, but Amazon has had some awesome deals lately. I'd love that.
Oh, my God.
No kidding, man. I got Mass Effect 2 from them, and you get Mass Effect 2. It's like $4 off, whatever. Who cares? But then you get a $10 gift card. I'm using the $10 gift card to get Dante's Inferno for another $4 off and another $10 gift card.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And they have deals of the week every week, or deals of the day, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deal each day.
You could have picked up a TE stick either today or yesterday for $98. Or yeah, $99. And that might sound like, okay, that's a lot. They retail for like $150. $160 here, $150 there. It's just, yeah. It's, you can put it towards that shit. It's good
stuff.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Yeah, so get your entries in. All right, so let's talk about our question of the week next week.
Do we have one?
We do have one.
Yeah, we're prepared.
Yeah.
And there is a particular publisher that stirred this question up. So,
yes.
So I'm wondering if any of you guys are going to send in that as your answer. So here's your question of the week. What companies this generation, what publishers or developers, have done a complete 180 in the way they handle themselves in the gaming industry?
That goes both ways.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
From good to bad and from bad to good.
Exactly. And you can answer the question week by sending us an email. That email address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can leave us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost Lee, but it is not.
You can get us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
G-off.
Oh, man. Somehow that's always funny. I don't understand.
That's, I guess.
we're also on Facebook. It's Interactive Distractions Podcast. And let's see, what else should we mention that we don't usually mention?
Check out our website. We put that, we're trying to update as much as possible.
Yeah, I put 3 updates up today.
Yep.
And we put a new review up today. Dragon Age Origins went up. Thank you, Jeff.
Yep.
And as he said, he's working there on another one right now. And
yep.
Travis
should
is
be up on Monday.
Travis, are you still working on yours?
Working on what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I thought so.
I like Mass Effect.
I work 60 hours a week. All right, give me time.
He's going to New Orleans. Got to watch the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I've got. So, do you guys have anything to go? Do you have anything else to say before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Good, because I'm tripping over myself and I need to go to bed.
Nice.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about it.
We gotta go back. Sorry, that's totally stealing from IGN. But we gotta go. Okay, forget it. Go listen. Yeah.
So if you somehow, some way, in any shape or form, actually enjoyed this episode, tell a few friends about us and leave us an iTunes review.
Please.
So until next week.
Don't necessarily base it on this episode.
So until next week, I am Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Boop-bye.